Megillah. Left over from interesting about the Megillah is that really you see the story of two individuals. I mean, two individuals on one side, two individuals on the other side. Achashverosh and Haman on one side, and Mordechai and Esther on the other. Story of four people, really. Now, the Achashverosh and Haman, Achashverosh and Haman were both Rishayim, the way the Megillah depicts them, both Rishayim. It's interesting. Achashverosh doesn't, when Chazal say that Achashverosh was a melech sheita, I want you to understand, I mean, it doesn't mean that he was just a fool. A person is just a total fool, can't be a melech. It's nonsense. A person can't be a total idiot and run a melech. It's impossible. What Chazal mean by melech sheita hayo, it means it's a question of when he did something, did he do it? You see, you have to see where the machlekes is, whether he was a melech sheita. You have to see where the machlekes is. The Gemara, yeah. So Chazal say, because, just a second. No, yeah, I got it ready. So one says, Melech Pekechaya Sheikdim or Chokim Lef Ne'iro. Why? The Ne'iro, Kol Amos Sheyirtza Yefaisen. Right? It means to say, so he was really a pikeach because first he said, when Moshe first made 180 days was for the Rechokim, right? Mishnas Shal Shlomochai. So, and then later it says, when Moshe Yom Melosa Melachol Anim Tzim Shushan Abir Limigal Vakat. So that were, those were the closer ones then. So he says, well, Melech Pekeach, why is he very intelligent? Because first he knows the ones that are close to him, he has them anyways. Might as well win over the ones that are further away. Okay. The Charav Amalach Tipeshaya, the Boyle Lekarev B'nei Iro B'Reisha, the E Mordubei Hanach Haniya V'Kaimi Badei. Because if the other ones rebel against him, so then he'll always have, he should have shown preferential treatment to the ones, to the B'nei Iro. Yeah, it's a funny kind of thing. It's a melech pekeach, melech sheitas, machlekes, Rav and Shmuel, which way is the right way to do it? it's a funny kind of thing. Okay, so it'll come out the one that says melech tipesh left to hold that Rav is, what's the shot? Yeah. But what it means is like this. What it means is, the question is like this. Question is not a question. The question is, you see, the question is when he did something, like in this instance, where first he had the first he made the party for the ones that are rechokim. So the question is, why did he do? Was this a calculated thing? Was it calculated? That's why he did it. If it was calculated, even if he made a mistake, I mean, it's a question. You see, the machlokes in Gemara, which way is better? So you can't say a matter of tipesh. The machlokes Gemara itself, which way is better? So, the machlokes is, what kind of a person was he? Was he a person that did things based upon absolute reason? It was a calculated thing? Or no, his emotions really lent themselves to one of two ways. And then he rationalized his emotions. But he never did a stupid thing. I mean, a stupid thing can't be a melech. Persis tam sheita can't be a melech. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara, as a matter of fact, is a machlekes, which way is better. But that's not important which way is better. Important is why he did it. Did he do it? Was it calculated? Or no? The reason why he did first the rechokim was because baroso es kivodo malchuso es osher vol malchuso es yikar tefesku deloso. He was involved in a display of his ego. His exhibitionism really was what determined. But of course, he was an intelligent man, so he figured the ones that I have in Shusha, I have them anyway. He definitely thought of those two points. The question is, what was the determinant? Was it pure reason, or was it just his emotions? That determines whether he's a chacham or whether he's a tipish. It's not a question, really. See, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara says, oh, it's a toss-up. You have to know. I mean, it depends upon the conditions. It depends upon the conditions in the melucha. So you can't say one way or another just by looking at the pasuk. But the machlokes is what caused them to do it. It's machlokes is, in other words, was he a person that was led by reason, or was he a person that was led by his emotions, but he needed an auxiliary reason, you see. But like I say, I mean, it doesn't mean the man was Stama Tepish. That's impossible. Now, when you take a look at the character of Achashverosh, so you see, I mean, you see a person, of course, we always think of Achashverosh as a total hedonist. And we think of Haman as really as the... As an egotist. Like, I spoke about this before. But of course, you see that Achashverosh also was not exactly an onoff. Because, Barosa was Oshek Vol Malchusa Veshikor Teferesh Kibuloso Yomim Rabim Shmonu Mamas Yom. A long time to be involved in his display of his ego. And what's the difference between the two? I mean, I spoke about it at length once before. I just want to bring out another way. We mentioned that it was really the man of Taiva, but that became the ideal as Taiva. I want to just explain it a little bit from the same idea. But there are two types of ego in a person. You see, there's an ego in a person that is the person needs. Oh, the person requires, he has to demonstrate his greatness, must demonstrate his greatness. That's extremely important to him. But the reason why he must demonstrate the way he demonstrates his greatness is by an objective kind of a thing, something from reality. You see? In other words, he points to his accomplishments, some kind of something that's real, that exists in reality, some kind of accomplishment. So he says he's an egotistical person. I mean, egotistical, not in the sense that he's exhibitionistic. He must display his greatness. That's like Achashverosh. He had a big ego. And you see, he had a big ego also. It's another Chazal. Chazal darshan very... very, very well, because it says, the pasuk says, when Vashti refused to come, so Chazal, I mean, it's beautiful way Chazal sends it to Lashna pasuk. Vayikzof ha-melech ma'od, v'chamoso bo'aravo. Pasuk could have said, Vayikzof ha-melech ma'od, what's v'chamoso bo'aravo? And he says very nicely, the Torah Tamimah. He says, V'chamoso boravom shows that there's something in an internal kind of hatred that was concealed. V'yikzei from Melech Ma'ed wasn't enough. He got very angry. Somebody, she didn't comply with his ruling. Okay. But V'chamoso boravom means there's some kind of internal anger that he's afraid to display to others. That's V'chamoso boravom. So Chazal say, why? Because she didn't just refuse. But what she said to him was, she said to him, my grandfather's horseman, the head of the horseman, could drink and drink and drink and never get drunk. And you, a few drinks, you're dead drunk and you talk like a fool. So basically she attacked his ego and said he can't hold his liquor. You see, and the attack wasn't just on the fact that he's unable to drink, but it really was an attack on his whole malchus. That he's not Roy. What she meant was, because she came from royalty, so she said, I come from royalty. Royalty knows how a king should be at a party. But he was a melech shemalach me'atzmo. You know, you have nothing to do with royalty. You don't know how to have a party and to drink. And that's why what you're telling me to do is based on the fact that you're totally drunk and you lost yourself and you're not Roy to be a melech. She really attacked him. She attacked him back viciously, and his ego was achamaso boravo. So you see, the man was a person who was He wasn't, like I said before, wasn't exactly an honor. But nevertheless, you see, his ego was based upon something in reality. It's a different kind of an ego. Different kind of an ego. That's a person that could be involved in displaying his greatness, but at least his greatness has to be based on some kind of a realistic accomplishment. You see, his ego is tied to accomplishment. Okay. But then there's another kind of ego. And this is, that I would call a normal ego. Normal ego. He's a person from Russia. He's not a tzaddik. He's involved in a low part of human nature. But he's a Russia, but it's not pathological riches. There's another kind of ego which doesn't require any support from the external world, where the person intrinsically feels that he's superior. Just an intrinsic sense of superiority doesn't demand any kind of support. He doesn't have to point to any accomplishments. He's just intrinsically superior. The only thing he needs from the external world is to manifest that the world should know that he's superior, you see. But he doesn't have to point to the world. He doesn't have to point to the reason for his greatness. You see, it's an interesting thing. He's dependent upon the world, but in a different way. All the reason that he needs the world is to support the fantasy of his greatness. But the greatness is not tied to any kind of actual accomplishment. That's the difference. That's really the difference between Haman and between Achashverosh. Achashverosh was an egoistic person. Barosos kvar malchusov as yikart vezglos yomim rabim shmanu mas yom. But what was it? Barosos kvar malchusov as yikart. There was something there. It was really an accomplishment. He was a great malach. So that kind of ego is an ego that's still in reality. But the sick ego, the ego of, then that's the ego of a Moloch. The ego of a Moloch is an ego where the person, it's based on absolutely nothing but ego itself. It doesn't require any kind of accomplishment. It needs the external world, though. It needs the external world in order to comply. Without the external world, the person who has such an ego is very disturbed. Why? Because without the support from the external world, he is always afraid that it's only a fantasy and an illusion. And the fact that he must have the support of the external world to give him some kind of peace in the fact that he's not simply a crazy man working under an illusion. So he must have the support from the external world. But he does not have to point to anything. It's not necessary. He is already, his greatness is already assumed. He knows he's great. He knows there's something special about him that makes him great. And there's no need to support it. See, the support is only to bring support that he's not just in a state of fantasy. That's Haman. That's the difference. You see, it's interesting. Chazal say that about Achashverosh. I mean, you have to understand, Achashverosh is really more difficult to understand than Haman. Haman, you see, a totally irrational, egocentric megalomaniac. But the Achashverosh was also a Sonny Israel. Achashverosh was also a Sonny Israel. As a matter of fact, I mean, you see this clearly from the Pesukim. You see clearly from the Pesukim, because it says that Pasuk says after he made Haman great, so it says like this. It says That's right. Yeah. Vayosa melech es tabato me'al yodo. Vayitna lohomon ben amedoso agogi tzora hayudim. So it says, Vayem melech homon, hakesef nasun loch. Hakesef nasun loch means, see, really, Haman Haman really wanted to give him the money. Emel Amach Tovi Kasev La'adam. Vaseres Alofim Kikar Kasev Eshkol Al Yedei Osei HaMalacha Lahavi Al Ginzei HaMelech. Okay? So he was smart. He said, I'll bring all the money into the king's treasury. Whatever the king does with the organ, he knew that that the melech is not the most honest person, so he was bribing him with money also. I mean, how much money will it cost to pay these people? He knew it was an excess. He could be sure it was an excess. So he said, so he was bribing him with money also. But the king, the Achashverosh, really was so happy that he didn't even care about the money. Kesef nasan loch. V'om lasas bakatov beinecha. So you see, he also harbored a tremendous hatred against the Jews. He hated the Jews. And you see that the Chazal say, Amar Rava, Moshel d'Achashverosh v'homon l'mo adov adomer l'shnei b'nei adam. Lechad hoyo tel b'soch sadehu lechad chritz. One had a mound and the other one had a hole in his backyard. Abala chritz amam mi yitain li ze b'damim. So the one that has the depression in his backyard, so he says, I need a mound in order to even have land. Ubala tell Omar me eat and leave abdomen. And the way so each one needs what the other one has. Liyamin is dog guze itzal ze amalo bala charitz la bala tail macharli telcha. So the one that had the hole in the backyard, he says, give me the mound. Amalo tulosa bechina. Says, take it. Ulevai, take it. V'dakvosav v'yosam melechas tabatav yitna l'homa. So in other words, the Achashverosh was very, the Jews bothered him. It was like a thorn in his side. Constant thorn in his side. And he's just waiting for something happened that was just what he wanted. You see. So he was really an evil person, a Rasha, son of Yisrael. And Chazal say, Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh, he was a Rasha mitchilosa vad sofa. Interesting thing, mitchilosa vad sofa means to the end. So he never changed. In Megillah, a lot of people get the wrong impression. They think that Achashverosh really became a tzaddik. Doesn't say, if you look carefully, it doesn't say he became a tzaddik. Doesn't say he was became a tzaddik. So what happened to him? So you have to understand something. So what happened to him? It's an interesting thing. What happened to the man? So he remained in Russia, and yet you see that he saved Kol Yisrael. Something must have happened to him. So if you take a look, you see, getting back again to his personality, even though he had a crazy ego, but he was in reality because he demanded that there must be some kind of a support, some kind of not just that he's great, but he had to show that he's great through something. Now Chazal say an interesting thing about Achashverosh. Say that he was after Vashti sinned, so it says like this, an interesting pasuk. Vayomar hamelech lachachomim yodei ho'itim. Ki chein dvar hamelech lefnei kol yodei dos vadin. What's the pasuk mean? Funny kind of thing. Vayomar hamelech lachachomim yodei ho'itim. What's kichein dvar melech lefnei kol yodei dos vadin? What does it mean? So Chazal say that he had a good midah. Why? Because it says who were the yodei itim was chachamim. They were Chazal. Because the pasuk says ki chachmaschem uvinaschem la'enei ha'amim, that the people will respect Klal Yisrael because the Sanhedrin because they study astronomy. So that's Yodei Itim. So he really went to Chachmei Yisrael. And he asked them, what should I do? And it says, Kichein dvar ha-melech lifnei kol Yodei dos vadin. So Chazal say, Mida tova hoysa bosa ish, shloha ya'osa dovar ad shenimach. See? Didn't do a thing until he asked advice. Never did a thing. That shows a person. That's the difference, really, between a person whose ego is just an insane ego based on nothing, and a person whose ego, he's egoistic, but he requires external support. He's still in reality. So Achashverosh was a person that was always notel etzah. See, Haman was not notel etzah. And when Haman went Vayomer lo zeresh ishto v'chola. That wasn't in that late. I was came always complaining. V'chol zayin ashovali. And then they came up with the idea, so he liked the idea, but it wasn't that late. V'chashverish, the person that's an egomaniac that feels intrinsically superior, the one thing that he never does is ask for advice, because his advice is always the correct advice. Whatever he thinks in his mind, that's correct, because intrinsically he has to be right. Intrinsically he has to be right. It's an interesting thing. I think it's true in life also. I notice this a lot of times. I notice that people, you see, I mean, you have to realize that Amalek is a nation that typifies a certain kind of emotion. But the emotion is a human emotion. So there are parts of that emotion in everybody. And I notice a lot of times that people, when they in an area where they're an area which involves their ego, they usually don't ask advice. Don't ask advice. That's it. That's the sign. That's the sign. This Chazal points to the defect, the common defect. It's you'll see. You keep it in mind. You'll see. It's very observable. And a person, even a person that asks for advice, but when he comes into a situation where his ego is involved, suddenly the advice is gone. He just immediately goes and does things. That's what Chazal pointed out. It's an interesting thing. But Achashverosh, as egoistic as he was, it was a different kind of an ego. It was an ego that was based, he enjoyed exhibitionism, but it was based on some kind of reality. When it came to making a move, who did he ask? As a matter of fact, he asked Chachmei Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. He asked Chachmei Yisrael. Even though he hated the Jews. Interesting thing. Even though he hated the Jews. Yeah, he was an intelligent man. He was like I said, he wasn't Melech Shet, does not mean he was crazy. What? He knew they'd be the ones that would give him the. That's what it says, Kichein Devar Melech Lifnei Kol Yodei Das Vadin. That's the way he always was. He always did this. Two things you see. Chazal say two things about him. Midah Tova. That was one Midah Tova. And the second Midah Tova was. No, why didn't. Who said he wasn't? Oh, no. Chazal, very smart. When the Chachamim heard the question, they thought about it, and they said, "There's no way out of this. Why? Because if we tell him to kill Vashti, so now he's shikr. But once he gets out of the shikrus, he'll harbor resentment against us. Come back against us. And if we tell him not to kill her, so then he's going to be angry at us because we're not doing anything for the malucha, then something else will happen. And I'll say, you see that? You told me not to kill her. Now look what happened. Something else happened against me. I should have killed her at the time. So they said they couldn't win. No win situation. So they told him, they said that since we lost the Beis HaMikdash and we're not done dinin nefashis anymore, we really don't know how to. We lost our chachma. We don't know how to deal with these kind of matters. We're incapable of dealing with it. So they just, they pulled back. They pulled back. Haman, of course, ran with the solution. He ran with the solution. So you see, so that was one midah he had. Another midah he had, amazing. You know, it shows you how Chazal, the Navi, understands that a person, the complexity of a person, not just a person is an evil person. You have to analyze in what way. Because there's another good midah he had. Another very good meter. What's the other good meter he had? The other good meter was by Balailahu Nodashnasa Melach. By Yomer Lohovi Yasefer Zachronos Divrei Yomim. So Chazal say that Mida Tova Hoysa Boso Ish. Shekol Misha Yoso Bo Tova Yakosva. That's it. Anyone that ever did him a favor, he wrote it down. You see what? He always kept the record. Kept the record of it. That's the first thing. Kept the record of it. I'm sure, yeah, of course. I mean, he kept the record in the cross. Tov, yeah. Of course, he wasn't. It wasn't because he was such a great Makir Tov. But it was, he recognized that this was important for the Malucha. To make sure. I mean, that was the whole thing. As a matter of fact, so you see, so he had a rational trend. It shows you an amazing description of this man's personality. On the one hand, he was an exhibitionist, an egotistical kind of person, self-centered, and then his whole life revolved around showing how great he was, his greatness. But on the other hand, it's an interesting thing, but on the other hand, the rational element of his nature still, with regard to certain areas of life, remained in place, It seems the Pasuk is emphasizing that he was really pretty much heavily involved in this. This wasn't just Tachsisei Melucha. It was more than that. Yeah, it was. He was very heavily involved in it. So you see how careful you have to be when you analyze a person. Not simply he's an evil man, he's a good man. It's a person that's very complex. Very complex. Actually, you see that it was because of these rational elements in his nature, it was they really enabled him to save Klal Yisrael, to change the edict. Why was the rational element in his nature? Because we have to understand, why did he really do it? He hated the Jews. See, he hated the Jews. There's two kinds of hatred for the Jew. There's a hatred for the Jew that you encounter by the person, by the individual who has the sense of intrinsic superiority. See, intrinsic superiority, that's Haman. That's Haman, that's Hitler, that's Amalek. That's what Amalek is, basically. So that kind of a person, the existence of the Jew is intolerable. It's just intolerable. Because the Jew is a pircha, is a refutation of his intrinsic sense of superiority. That's why these people like the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. I mean, that's why they try to build a history. First thing they try to do is to create a history of superiority. And they're like Farrakhan, and the same exact trend. It's a desire to claim an intrinsic superiority. Anyone that does that has one problem. That's the Jew. So the Jew simply, it's intolerable to have the Jew around. That's Haman. Achashverosh hated the Jews also. He hated Jews. But he hated the Jews because the Jews really interfered with his... It was annoying to him because the philosophy of the Jew interfered with his philosophy. It was disturbing. That's why he took the Kalim Mikalim Shonim. The Kalim Mikalim Shonim. So it says, that means it's a reference to the Klei HaMikdash, the great Klei HaMikdash. That's why there's a... There's some that they do a tune over there. They do the tune of Echa, the Kelim Shana. Yeah, there's a support for doing that from Chazal. Because Chazal say that why do you begin the Megillah? Machlekes, we begin the Megillah. So say we begin from Vayiv Me'ach Hashresh. Why do we begin over there? So Chazal say because of the reason that you begin over there is because of that drasha, right? Because of that Mara Achashverosh Shenishtamesh Beklay on the Mara Moigilem Mara Achashverosh Shenishtamesh Beklay Amigdash Al Kacha Moigia Shehargas Vashti. No, it says Shehargas Vashti. So the Chazal connect those two things, and Chazal say that's why you have to begin the Megillah from there. It's an interesting thing. You don't have to begin. Not that you have to begin the Megillah from there because you have to read the whole Megillah. It's because this component is necessary. But the question, of course, is I'll raise the question this year. The Kalim Mikalim Shonim. Where does it say use the Klei Megdash? So the answer is that part of the takana of reading the Megillah wasn't just to read the Megillah, the overt story, but it was really to arouse an interest in learning the Megillah. That's also part of Pesumi Nisa, to arouse an interest in the public that they should want to learn the Megillah. Yeah, so they should learn V'kelem V'kelem Shonim. So really, there's a good mucker for that tune, to do that tune, v'kelem v'kelem shonim, to do it in the tune of Echa. Why? Because that, according to that mandam of the Gemara, you see that, why do you begin the Megillah from Hebrew Me'achashverosh? In order that people should know that he used the kelem in the base, which it doesn't say in the pasuk he used it. So you see, the purpose is to arouse an interest in the Megillah, so they should learn the drushes. So they should really learn the kelem v'kelem shonim. They should understand what happened. So the kelem mikelem shonim. So Chazal say that because of that he killed Vashti. Well, what does that have to do with drinking the kelem in the base of Migdash, from the base of Migdash, using the kelem of base of Migdash? What does it do with killing Vashti? It seems like two different things. But the answer is, why did he use the kelem of the base of Migdash? Because he had one fear. See, there was he had tremendous fear that the philosophy of Yadus is correct and his philosophy is wrong. What is it? So how did he prove that their philosophy is wrong? The philosophy of Yadus is wrong. How did he prove it? By the way, is the sign of the Russia. What is the sign of the Russia? The Russia operates on a very primitive level. What's the primitive level? He acts out his fantasy. He acts out his fantasy, and he thinks that by acting it out, it has become a reality. The fact that he's able to use the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash means that there's no such thing as he counted the 70 years, and now it's all over. No, so he proved to himself that it's wrong. You see, it's a primitive kind of mode of psychological behavior. You see, and le'uma zeh, in contradistinction to this, in Yadus we have no such thing as a symbolic action. There's no such thing in Yadus as symbolic action. I mentioned this a number of times. Everything we do is halachic action. It's based upon rationale. It's based upon a formula, a specific formula. And there's no such thing as a symbolic activity. Matzahs are not symbolic. The person with kind of mitzvahs matzah, not know anything about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's a halacha. It's a precise formula, logical formula. Yeah, we have ideas attached to mitzvahs, but there never is a symbolic performance. Never is a symbolic performance. Even the halacha of putting ashes, barosh chasan under the chuppah, say, so ask me, is that symbolic? No. That's a maisa velus. Avo ma'oleo ba'afar karna barosh. On the contrary. If it's symbolic, it doesn't have anything. It's Maisa Velas. The Gavra is involved in the Maisa Velas, B'Sha Simcha. That's really the whole idea of, that's the idea of remembering Yishlayim, not the symbolic thing. We don't have any symbolic. Everything we do is a halachic activity. It's an interesting thing. As a matter of fact, the whole reason with the Kaparis, the whole reason with the Kaparis, why they asked the Kaparis, is because people took it as symbolic. You see? Once you take it as symbolic, then it's a primitive activity. In other words, that's why they were against. In other words, that by doing this activity, through doing this activity, some kind of reality is being brought about. Symbolic, that's what symbolic is. Doing the activity itself is bringing about some kind of a change. That's why they said the kaparis are no good. That's why they were against the kaparis. But the ones that said to do the kaparis was simply to bring to mind, the person should bring to mind a certain idea, not symbolic, but that was all machlokes. The whole thing, because it became a symbolic thing. It became a symbolic thing is bad. Symbolic is bad. Yeah, exactly. Every religion, the practices of every religion are all symbolic. All symbolic practices. Every one of them. They're all symbolic. But in Yadus, we don't have it. It does not exist. The symbolic is a primitive mode of behavior. It's a Avodah Zarah, basically. It's the mode of behavior of Avodah Zarah. And you're right. The truth of the matter is, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it happens to be true, that people who are influenced by Kabbalah, or influenced by Kabbalah, get involved in this, and it's absolute Avodah Zarah. I mean, the reason is because well, everybody agreed that the person shouldn't study Kabbalah until he's 40 years old. That doesn't just mean chronologically, but people are attracted to it like a magnet. Attracted because it is something which could be used for their own primitive kind of lifestyle needs, satisfy the primitive needs. I mean, there's no question about it. That's why they asked it. Why they asked it to 40? Because they knew that a person that is not developed intellectually is going to fall right into that pit. And that's Avodah Zarah. And that caused Avodah Zarah. That caused Shabbat Tzvi. Historically, it caused Avodah Zarah. Shabbat Tzvi. and there's and a lot of the conversions to Christianity, the Christians were most successful among the people that that were mystics, the mystic Jews. That's the ones that were most successful among, because they were already primitive, they were already down to the primitive level, and it wasn't too far to make the next step into Christianity. And as a matter of fact, I have found myself, on my own personal experience, that the people that I've spoken to, like in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, that are Kabbalistic, they really, when you start talking about various subjects, you see that they have a certain inner respect for Christianity and for Yeshu. Unfortunately, but that's the way it is. You speak to them, you see, it gets out. That's why it gets out. But the that is because it's a reversion to a very primitive form of behavior. And that's really Ahasuerus was a Rasha. The Rasha is a primitive man. He's a Rasha, he was a primitive man. And by using the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, he was convincing himself that there's no such thing. That was his, he was acting out as his primitive fancy. But you see, what was the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash? The kalim of the Beis HaMikdash was against his whole hedonistic way of life. And see, for the hedonist, everything is an object of his physical desire. That's the only value that an object has. There's no kedusha is a nightmare of a hedonist. Because kedusha means that something exists and has a purpose in its existence outside of his own utilitarian needs. It's it's not an object of his taifa, you see. That's why he killed Vashti. Because since the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash showed that he can't tolerate the idea that anything exists outside of something which is for his own objective taiva. So that was the conflict. That was the conflict. Vashti suddenly decided that she's not an object of his taiva. And that's why he killed her. That's why he killed her. You see that it caused him a lot of grief, though. That's why the Chachamim pulled out. Because it was for 4 years, it says, Chazal say it was for 4 years, he didn't marry. For 4 years he didn't marry. It was 4 years later with the whole mice with So 4 years he didn't marry. So what happened, you see, it really caused him a lot of grief. But at any rate, that's the Vekelim Mekelim Shonim. That's the Vekelim Mekelim Shonim. So for him, he couldn't tolerate the philosophy of Yadus. Philosophy of Yadus annoyed him. And that's what bothered him. But it wasn't a crazy egoistic thing that he has to believe that he has this intrinsic superiority, that he can't tolerate the Jew. That was Haman. Haman can't tolerate the existence of the Jew. Ahasuerus, it's a practical, it bothered him. It bothered him. The philosophy of this whole way of life was disturbing against his philosophy. Of course, it's very disturbing if a person lives one way and he has people and in front of him that are, every minute, every time he sees them, he sees that they're denying that he thinks his life is a waste and that he's living totally improperly. So that's disturbing. So I wanted to get rid of them also, but it was two different types of hatred. Two different types of hatred. So, excuse me? Yeah, that's right. That's why Ahasuerus was able to be Nosei Eitzah from the Jews. Didn't bother. Because of that fact, he was able to be converted. It's an interesting thing. How was he converted? He was converted because he was in conflict. You see, he had a tremendous conflict. On the one hand, he wanted to maintain his melucha, of course, and he was a little paranoid. So like it's characteristic of all these rulers that they have paranoia, they become paranoid. So he was paranoid, and he started to think. See, Haman was really building up a lot of debt, because first of all he made the mistake that the chacham didn't make, which is that he realized that don't get involved over here. So the truth of the matter is, while consciously he listened to Haman, but nevertheless, underneath there was a hatred for Haman because of the fact that he took away Vashti. Took away Vashti. That hatred was always there. As a matter of fact, that was what was responsible. That's later when he accused Haman, so Hagam Lichbosh as a Malkim about boys. There were two things. There were two things over there, really. First of all, he started to see, you see what happened was that Vayasa Melachas Tabato, this became a whole, for Haman, this became a whole, this wasn't just a matter of killing Jews. It was a matter of an ideology. Because it says Vayasa Melachas Tabato. What do you have to say Vayasa Melachas Tabato? He said, go kill the Jews. Vayasa, what does it mean, Mesiras Tabas? Mesiras Tabas means that he placed him in charge. It was a campaign and a whole ideological. He was really the, Haman became the head of the whole, this whole ideology. Kor Meshtachem LaHaman. So it was a whole philosophy. And Kichein Tzivah LaHamelach. So Haman, you see, Haman was already building up a lot of debt. And then suddenly, Balayla Hu, everything crashed. Everything crashed Balayla Hu. But he was building, while consciously he was always finding favor by the king, but somehow or other, the king became very suspicious. He was becoming suspicious. He was angry at him, and he was becoming suspicious. And there were multi-determined phenomena. I spoke about this a little last time. Multi-determined phenomena that caused, all of a sudden, caused the whole collapse of Achashverosh's relationships. Yeah, he was suspicious. His suspicion started to grow because Haman's arrogance, and Haman started to take over, and he's the head of this whole new movement. And he started to realize that this movement, really, Haman is not interested in the Melech, but he's interested in his own self-aggrandizement, and he's getting a tremendous following. And the next thing is, he'll just going to topple the, yeah, exactly. Because he was reaching the people. By the way, the best way, and that's really like you have today with the Farrakhans. The Farrakhan, the best way to, and that's Hitler, Yimach Shemo, the best way to reach people is precisely through the method of hatred and destruction. Yeah, scapegoats. You see why? Because what you do is, as a matter of fact, they said he blamed, Chazal say that he blamed the Jews for the Nachashverosh's time. There was an economic decline. Like Vayasam Malach Masal. Yeah. It was not a good time. They say Achashverosh. People were poor in those days. So it was a time of economic decline, and he blamed the Jews. Haman blamed the Jews. Chazal said. He said, they have Shabbosim, they have Yom Tovim, they're always there not working, they always have another day, another day of vacation. So he said that they're responsible, their philosophy is responsible for people being lax and lazy and economic decline. So the best way to become the head, a leader, and to have the support of the people, is there's only one way, and that is to cater to their base emotions, and to in other words, to have a situation where you engender anti-Semitism is a perfect situation. Why? First of all, it removes everything that's going wrong. They have somebody to blame. But more than that, it's an outlet and a matir for the vicious emotions that a human being has. And a human being is never happier than when he's able to unleash these emotions with impunity. In other words, no guilt, nothing. It gives the person, it's the perfect, then the person is tied to that leader, because that leader really gives him the ability to do something which he can never do. That's unleash his most aggressive emotions and not feel guilty about it, because the leader removes the guilt. So Haman threw, and that's the way, that's the same thing with the Nazis, and the same thing with Farrakhan, the same exact method, exact, precise, the formula's right there. I mean, you just study the McGill, you see the exact same formula, identical formula. So it's pretty amazing. It's not just identical in theory, it's identical in practicality, exact same things. So Haman really was gaining power, and the Melech started to realize that he's becoming a favorite of the people, and this is becoming very dangerous. So he realized that he's in danger, and then that's why he said what he said to what he said when Haman Vayama Melech Yava Balailu Nadashnasa Melech. That's when he started to. That's when he couldn't sleep. He became very frightened because of the fact that Esther was invited him to the party with Haman. So he was overcome with the fear. So the fear was a rational fear. See, he was always tied. So that's why Chazal say right at that point, he always had that rational element. And the rational element, it's an amazing thing. He saw he had two. It's an interesting thing. Chazal say that there were two people that were important in his mind. Lasos Kirtzon Ishvish. The whole party was for who? Ishvish. Two people he had in mind. One was Mordechai and one was Haman. Two people that were important to him. So Haman, he saw he trusted Haman, and he saw that you see, it's an interesting thing. With Haman, what was it? It says Haman made himself an Avodah Zarah. What does it mean, made himself an Avodah Zarah? It means to say that the person that's endowed with this natural sense of superiority always is never happy. You see, he always makes recourse to the supernatural. It's an interesting thing. The supernatural. The man who has an ego like a Hashverosh, he points to the natural. Baroso es kvod malchuso ves osher social es karta fresco de lasso. But the person who is the egomaniac because of an intrinsic sense of self-importance, you see, somehow I feel he doesn't point to the natural, points to the supernatural. He starts maintaining that he has supernatural powers. And that's why the Gemara Chazal say, Mordechai lo yichav el Esav. Why didn't he bow down? You're allowed to bow down. It says, Yaakov bowed down to Esav. Show respect. Let him do it. Why? There's two Chazal. One says, Osa atzma avodah zarah. And the other Chazal says that he had something on Chakuk alibo, that it was an avodah zarah. And he says very well, Tartamim says very good shot. He says, it's not that he has supernatural powers. He has to point to some kind of a system. So he had, that was the avodah zarah, that was the system that he pointed to, but he maintained that he's an embodiment of this system and he has supernatural powers. See, that's why Mordechai lo yichav el Esav. That's where you see the pathological ego. Pathological ego goes for the supernatural. They maintain they have supernatural powers. And every time you have the person that's a Russia like that, like a Haman, it always believes that there's some kind of supernatural force behind them. So Hitler, Machshama, always said these divine powers. That's Osa Atzma Avodah Zarah. That's the difference. You see the difference between the two types of ego. So what happened was, though, Ahasuerus started to become frightened of this as Haman became more and more. He started to become overcome with his own powers. Ahasuerus started to get worried. He started to get very concerned. Then when Esther said that there's something between, it's an interesting thing, when she said to the party, what happened? So Chazal said that he thought to himself, that what is this? He says, maybe they want to kill me. You know, what kind of an irrational thing is that? Now, what it shows over there is the greatness of Esther. That Esther knew that there was this problem, this tension between Ahasuerus and Haman, and she knew that all she has to do is to do something which brings certain thoughts to go through his mind. That will be enough. She was hoping that will be enough. Those thoughts should go through his mind will be enough to cause him to turn, change. But you see what happened was, because of that, he went on a campaign of repaying the ones that did him favors. And that's why he said, what was his argument against Haman? That was his argument. His argument was that you can't be doing this for the Malchus, objectively, because you can't say that every single Jew is, that was the argument, basically. Every single Jew is no good. I mean, that's impossible. So there's one Jew that you can't deny that he's good. So, and your desire to destroy everyone shows that he's just on a crazy campaign. but this is, it has nothing to do with me. So that's what I said, Aseichin Lamordechai HaYehudi HaYoshev B'Shah HaMelech. HaYoshev B'Shah HaMelech. You didn't get rid of somebody. The thing, what he wanted to do was, because the question is like this, I mean, you learn Plame Shadavila, why was Haman so disturbed? I mean, you wait a few more months, Mordechai's going to get killed. No, because he saw that he's not going to get killed. He saw that this is a change. That now Achashverosh is moving, is backing off. On the contrary, Achashverosh is saying that the important thing is to is really to repay people that were loyal to him. So it was a whole new concept. The Jews is something else. They will destroy people that are not loyal, but not indiscriminately. Those who are loyal to the Malchus are not going to be destroyed. That was his whole campaign, was Batlam Avud. Not only that, but he made Haman himself take the Levushness us. That was an unbelievable thing. I mean, that was definitely aggression against, to put him in his place. That's why it was Nafalti Palafonov, Limpa Palafonov. So what caused him to change his mind was really the practicality. That's what caused him to change, the practicality. It's an interesting thing that he saw. See, what he saw was that he had these two people. He had Haman, he had Mordechai. He saw that with Haman, his life is in danger. His life is in danger. And he saw that as bad as the Jews are. And it's an amazing thing. He was able to come to the realization that the Jews, in the end, were the best thing for him. Why? It's not only that, but that they're loyal. He saw that they're loyal to the Malchus. And the truth of the matter is they are. That was the whole thing. Mordechai didn't know before these events. Had nothing had occurred yet. And Mordechai Yoshev B'Shah HaMelech because of Big Son Vesarish. So you see, the Jew is in fact a loyal person to the Melech. He was the most loyal person. He had no ulterior motives at all. So he saw that he's caught between two forces, the force that's in line with his emotion because he hates the Jews. That same force will lead to his own destruction. That was Haman. But he saw the one that he hates, that he thinks he dislikes them because they're annoying to him, he can't stand them. Yeah, but they're loyal to the Melech. So it's an amazing thing that he was able to, and that really was responsible for the whole conversion. That's why it says he was a Rasha Metchilas Avad Sofa, because even when he was good to the Jews, he was still a Rasha. It wasn't because he changed. He saw something in the way of life of the Jews. No, it was the same Russia, same exact Russia. But it was a practical thing. He saw he made a big mistake. He was able to overcome the aversion, which was based on a superficial kind of a phenomenon. He couldn't stand the sight of the Jews because they were antagonistic to represented the antagonistic philosophy. But he saw, in fact, the Jews are the most loyal ones. They're the loyal people. So therefore, he saw that it's rational to support them. You see, on the contrary, that they're the ones who should be supported. It's an amazing thing for a person. He was able to come to such a hakara. There's a chazal like that. Chazal say that if the goyim knew what the Beis HaMikdash was, ligyonos hayu misaf masa. Yeah, that's right. Well, it means to say that if they're rational for a minute, they'd see it as the best thing for them. Best thing for them. Beis HaMikdash, best thing for them. That's what he saw. That was Achashverosh. He was able to see, in spite of his rishis, because he was able to see that the Jews are really the best thing for him. The Jews are the most loyal people. And it's true. Absolutely true. So he was able to overcome that emotion, the superficial aversion. You see, that's beautiful. That's exactly what happened was like this. There were a lot of factors there. There's a lot of... When a person changes their mind, it's always because of multi-determination. And psychologists say this, and it's true. It's multi-determination. It was multi-determined events that caused them to... Because a person is very complex. What caused him to change? But what happened was, when he had this pircha... By the way, the Max Planck went with the same kasha to Hitler, Yamach Shemar. He said... He said, look, he said, you can't say all the Jews. He went to the person who spoke to Hitler. He said, you can't say all the Jews are bad. He says, there are Jews that are good. But Hitler, of course, threw him out. But Achashverosh, you see, Hitler threw him out because Hitler was Haman. But Ahasuerus was able to hear it. He said, this is impossible, that every single Jew is bad. This is crazy. You see that there are certain Jews that are good, and Mordechai is the prime example. So I don't believe that he ever had in mind even to kill Mordechai. I don't believe that he ever had in mind to kill Mordechai. Because Mordechai was Yerushim Shar Melech, and his matter was not, he was not later from Mordechai. There's a strange strange pasuk. It says, Ubi kovets besulos shenis, Mordechai Yoshev Shar Melech. Question, it says after, you take a look, it says after Vayam Licheho Tachas Vashti, and then it says, so everything's wonderful. He has a new queen, right? What's the next pasuk? Will we cover his basula shenis? What's it off? Nachamo, it's finished already. What's going on here? But the Chazal explained. Chazal say that he was going crazy because he could never find that Amo Molarata. So he went to Mordechai and he says, tell me, so what can I do to get her to talk? So he gave all kinds of presents out because he thought that the moment he gives presents to her, the place where she's from, so she'll get excited and she'll thank him and she'll want him to give more and she'll reveal who she's from, but she didn't. So he went to Mordechai. So Mordechai said to, he said to Ahasuerus, he says that the women are always jealous of a woman's jealous of another woman. So take in more women, she'll become jealous. That's if he covers Besulah Shanis. But that's why it says, Mordechai Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. So Rashi says, why was he Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech? Ein Esther Magedes is Amav Esmoladatol Efisha. Mordechai Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech HaMezarzov HaMeramzo Akach. He was constantly there for coercing her not to reveal who she's for. She apparently wanted to do it. She apparently wanted to reveal. He kept on arguing with her, and she listened to him. She listened to him. So what happened was, getting back to your point, that was his argument. Then when Kinim Karno Aniva Ami, Lahashmid Lara Guliabed, that was you see, it's an interesting thing. So the Megillah revolves around certain points, certain psukim. One of the psukim that revolves around is Einestam Agedas Amavas Malata. That's one of the psukim. And it's precisely because she didn't reveal who she was from, that when she did reveal it, that it had such a powerful impact. Because first of all, when she invited him the first time and she said, tomorrow I'll have a mishta, so how do you hold off the king? What do you mean? Tell me today. What is this? He's the Malach after all. One thing you see, another thing you see insofar as Ahasuerus, that he was a fair-minded individual. He was a fair-minded individual because he gave her tremendous respect. He gave her as much as he was the Malach, but she, ad chatzia malchus v'seh, zomina chatzia malchus, it means to say that we share the malchus together. He accorded her respect. It says later, v'tosam Esther es Mordechai al beis Haman. She was in charge. You see, she had rights. He treated people a certain kind of a fairness that he had. So at any rate, so getting back to the so Einesta Magedes, so that's why she was able to hold him off till the next day. And then the next day, what she said was, not only doesn't he want Mordechai to escape, Asher Dibel Tov al HaMelech. You see, what was Charvona? Charvona was what did Charvona say? Gamine Eitzah, also Haman, Mordechai, Asher Dibel Tov al HaMelech. What did you begin there for? What's the Pshat? Pshat was like this. He said that the Melech is making a campaign now to make sure that people know that if they're loyal to the king, that they're repaid. That's how you encourage loyalty. So he said, "Gam hinei ha'etz asher osa Haman leMordechai asher diber tov al haMelech." It means that Haman is working with a different philosophy. He's trying to show people that when you're loyal to the king, you get hung. So that's why Vayom HaMelech Tulu Olav. What is Tulu Olav? You show the people that not only do I repay people who are loyal to me, but anyone that tries to stand in the way of that repayment was destroyed. You see? That's Vayom HaMelech Tulu Olav. So at any rate, but the moment, getting back to your point, the moment, since he didn't know, that was part of the nes, that he didn't know. So then when she said, Kinim Karnu Aniva Ami, Lahashmid Laro Galabed. So what was she saying, really? She was saying that Haman knows who knows my nation. She knows, he knows my nationality. And not only did he want to destroy Mordechai, but he wants to destroy me as well. That was the final blow. That was the final blow. It followed precisely from the event with Mordechai. Followed precisely. Because you see, he is so insane that he wants to take it. You didn't know where I was from. He knew. And it can count on Nivami. Nivami. It means that this is what, that's why he said, Nihu Zevezo Shemalo Libalasas came. That they wanted to kill the Malka and a nation. Haman Arazeh. You see? So she accused him that he really spied on her and that he had knowledge, and this was his intent, to gain so much power that the king won't be able to defend himself anymore in the eyes of the public, and he'll have to destroy, he'll have to kill the Malk also. That's why that's such an important pasuk. The pasuk of Ein Esther Magedes Amo Molarata repeats it a few times. But what is the idea really of the what is the idea of Ein Esther Magedes Amo Molarata? Why? It's really a big mystery in the Haggadah. Why? So Rashi says the reason is Machlekes, Ibn Ezra and Rashi. Ibn Ezra says that the reason is because Mordechai knew that once she reveals that she's a Jew, they're going to force her to be over Averis, eat treif, because they would be upset that she doesn't join in his food, identify with him. So that's what the Ibn Ezra says. Rashi says different. Rashi says because he didn't want that Mordechai didn't want her to be picked as a queen. So that's why he told her not to reveal, because he knew that she was from aristocracy and then once the king knows, he'll be attracted to her. Okay, so that's very good. That explains. See, Rashi says, "Ki lo higidas tesamas malto ki Mordechai tziva la shelo sage kidei sheyom ruvshimi mishpachas bzuya v'yishalchuha shim yedu shehimi mishpachas shalom melach hayimachzikim ba." That's what Rashi says. Okay, but it's interesting. If that's the case, so then you have a problem. Why? Because it says v'kaveh after she was ready queen, v'kaveh b'sula sheinis u'mordechai yeshua melech enes tam agedes malato asama kashetziv ala Mordechai. And Rashi says again over there, l'fisha mordechai yeshua melech mezarzo meramz al kach. Why? Now it's the letter. Now she's ready queen. Now what's the pshat? So I think the pshat, I guess. I think the pshat is that I mentioned the pshat is that Mordechai knew, and this was a real machlekes to Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai knew that Chazal say that the Jews in that door were chayev kliya, kliya to be destroyed. Why shenenu misudas achashverish? So they ate from the sudas achashverish, and they violated the halacha, and they were chayev misa. They're all chayev misa. Now, why did they eat from sudas achashverish? Very simple reason. Because they wanted to be no sechein by the melech. That's it. Political Jews. Jews always are prominent politically. So they figured that we have to do it. That's it. We have to eat. If we abstain from eating Mesudas HaMelech, this is the worst thing. And then the melech is going to, is going to hate us and destroy us. And we can't. I don't know. Maybe they even paskin it's a kodos of Hashem. Who knows? You always be come up with different kinds of psakim different times. So, but at any rate, you see, they ate from the why? Because they wanted to gain favor in the eyes of the melech, political prominence. So they gave in. So Mordechai knew that that's why he didn't want Esther to be chosen, not just for Esther herself, but he knew that if Esther is chosen, this will be the worst thing for Klal Yisrael, because then the melech is going to. He's going to find favor in the Jews, and what's going to happen is that he's going to be good to them, and the worst thing that can happen is if the melech is Makari of the Jews. He knew that then they'll fall. That'll be assimilation, and the whole system will fall apart. So to him, this was the worst tragedy that could occur. Not just Esther. That's why he didn't want her to be chosen. But that's why even after she was chosen, he didn't want it. And he said, don't tell. Don't say from. Why? Because if the Melech finds out, what's he going to do? First thing, he's going to be nice to the Jews. First thing, he's going to be kind to the Jews, generous to the Jews, be makar of the Jews. And what's going to happen? There'll be assimilation, be totally destroyed. So that's why Ein Esther Magedet. That's why Mezar Zalkach. Because she apparently was of a different opinion. She held, she went along with the fur in the beginning. In the beginning, she went along because she herself didn't want to be chosen. But then later, he kept on Achashverosh was applying pressure, and she thought, maybe it's a good thing. The contrary. But Mordechai kept arguing, no, you have to look into what's going to happen, and the state of Klal Yisrael at this time is such that they're definitely going to lose. They're not able to withstand this Nisayan. She held, no, we don't have to paskin on what people are going to do. It's good, it's a good thing, let's do it. And he said, no, he said, he held that if you know that they're not going to be able to withstand the Nisayan, you can't do it. You'll destroy them. Yeah, that was the Machlokes, really. So, Ein Esther Magedet, he was Mezar Zalkach. So therefore, and it's an interesting thing, it was precisely because of that, because Ein Esther Magedet that was responsible later for that psak, that's what was responsible later for the whole nace. If it wasn't for Esther listening to Mordechai, that element wouldn't have been there. She couldn't have held him over for another day. And she couldn't have said "Kinyan Kana on Yivami." Wouldn't have been known before. Would have been bad. And just one more thing I wanted to. And that is, you see, with Haman was the Russia, the Amaleki, is a person that while he's involved in Rishis. But his rishis is of a very special kind, like we said. You see, his rishis involves ideas. That's why he's so dangerous. His rishis involves ideas. Because you see, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, Vayivez be'enov lishloach yod b'mardachai levado. Ki gidlo as'am mardachai. Ki gidlo as'am mardachai. What does it mean? It means he saw that the phenomenon of Mordechai is not a singular phenomenon. This stems from a whole philosophy, a whole ideology. And he came to the conclusion, which is a correct one, that the only way to wipe out an ideology is to wipe out every last person that holds that philosophy. That's the only way to do it. So that's me, Narvad, Zakein, Tafanashim, Biyomecha. That's it. And that was his conclusion. So you see, the Russia like Haman really works with ideas. If he didn't work with ideas, he wouldn't be so dangerous. He works with ideas, and he has respect for ideas. Yeah. We in Yadus is the exact opposite. But Yadus also, I can't say the word also because it's different, but I'm just mean to show you the comparison. Yadus, the essence of Yadus is ideas. What is the difference between Yadus, evaluation of ideas, and insofar as the Russia respects ideas? The difference is very clear. Because to the Russia, you see, the ideas are only a means for involvement in the instinctual. As a matter of fact, that's why the Russia, who is a total hedonist, a Baal Taiva, he's using his mind for that. But there's a limit to how much you can use your mind for when it comes to the physical. There's a limit. But when it comes to the area of the ego, there it's endless. See, there it's endless. That's why that's the worst evil. The worst evil is the unqualified, intrinsic gaiva. And the intrinsic gaiva is something which allows man to use his intellect constantly. It's a constant involvement in the intellect for the sake of the instinctual. And you see that the person who is of such a nature, who is involved in that way, is consumed is consumed by that kind of a by that kind of a mission. That's his whole life, and but nevertheless, you see, the ideas are only a means for the instinctual, but he's always tied to the instinctual. It's an interesting thing. Why? You see, by Haman, what happened with Haman? With Haman, he hated. It seems like an ideological thing. He get lo asam Mordechai, right? It's called Yehudim. But then what happened, really? And what really brought his downfall? It's interesting. Because, like I said, there was a sudden crash in the Balai Lahu. But what brought his downfall? What brought his downfall, if he would have stuck to the ideological, you see, he wouldn't have fallen. But what happened was, when he saw, B'chole seshani roas es Mordechai Yehudi, Yeroz Mordechai velo kom velo zom imeno. So what happened was it wasn't the ideological, it was the ideas are only a means, but what really is at the root of it is the instinctual. You see? That's the recognition of ideas by the Russia. So what happened was the sight of Mordechai aroused the instinctual and it even violated his system of ideas. Because you take a look. The pasuk says that when he came home, so they told him Yasweitz Gavar, they gave him advice. They gave him the advice, and then it says that Patamalozer Shishav Cholov Yasweitz Gavar Chamishim Ama Vaboka Emol Amelach. So Pacey pointed out to me, it says, Balailahu Nuddashnas Melech, Vayomalov is Sefer Zachranas, Dira Yamim, Vaymatse Kosov, and then it says, Vayoma Melech Mibachotzer, Vaman Balach at Sabbath, Melech Hassan, Lema Lamach Lissus Mordech Aleis Sheikhin Law. But what did his wife say? They didn't say that. They said, Yasuez Gavoa, Uva Boker Amala Melech. Was he running in the middle of the night? So what's the answer? The answer is that he couldn't wait another minute. So he couldn't wait another minute. He liked the idea, but he couldn't wait till the morning. They said, wait till the morning. No, he's running in the middle of the night. Where's he running in the middle of the night to the Melech? The Melech's sleeping. It just so happened that he wasn't sleeping. But this was a crazy thing also. So you see that he was already crazed with the idea. And he ran to the Melech. And that's why, and what happened was, the moment when the Melech asked, what did the Melech say? The Melech said, Manasseh, the timing was, that's why Chazal said, Yisrachesh Nisa, because the timing was unbelievable. Vayoma Melech Manasseh, Yikar Gdula Mordechai Azev, Vayomer Anar, Lo Naseh Madavar. Then suddenly, Mi Vechotzer. And what happened? Vayomer Melech, Hineham Melech Azev, Yavo. Vayavo Hamon, Vayomer Melech Malasos, Bisha Shechofes Bikaro, So the question, of course, is how do they know what he thought in his heart? So how he balls at a good shot. He says, because it says, so he said, why didn't he ask he's asking advice of his prime minister. So what should the prime minister say? He's asking me, he's saying, look, what should we do to a person that deserves honor? So what should the prime minister say? First thing you say, who is it? Who are you talking about? Didn't ask, you see. Didn't ask. Why? Because of the fact that he was out of reality already. He was out of reality with his own crazy ego. So that's why he immediately answered. He immediately answered. Yavil v'shmalchus, shalachol v'melach. Vashanitin kesa malchus b'rosho. He saw the Achashverosh wasn't talking about the last part, so he backed off. But that's how it was obvious. Vayom Aham Unbelievo. Vayom Aham Unbelievo. But regardless, I'm not, you know, it's Chazal, it's Machlekes Chazal, whether this proves that it was written Baruch Hashem, whatever. But regardless, whether you say the Pasuk Vayom Aham Unbelievo is because of Ruach HaKodesh or because of the episode, either way, it's possible. But the important thing is that this was another thing that enraged the Melech. Why? it's pretty obvious that the Melech must have spotted the fact, noticed the fact that he doesn't ask who is, and somehow or other, the line of thinking that the Melech himself was on with his suspicion, already when Haman walked in and the way he acted, it catered for that was another. That was another factor that determined, you know, in psychology they say that one person can read another person's unconscious. And it's true, and it's true. Is it can read another person's unconscious. That's why it's so hard to raise children. Because when you're raising children, your own unconscious, many times it even becomes conscious. But the child can sense. The child is even better, is more adept at that than an adult. Child can sense very quickly. Because the child doesn't know, hasn't learned about the how you fool people and act politically. Once a person gets older and they learn that things are politically, then when you see a person do something, you don't know. If you do this reason, everything becomes complicated. But a child's not complicated. A child senses right away. So a person can read another person's unconscious. By the fact that he didn't ask who it was, there's no doubt aroused in the Ahasuerus's, that went along with Ahasuerus's suspicion of Haman's own egocentricity and concern only for himself. So that was another factor. Yeah. So at any rate, so the Russia, you see, for the Russia, the world of ideas is not in recognition of the world of ideas. It's a tool. But he's smart enough to recognize he can't function without ideas. That's why he's so dangerous. But Yadus maintains exactly the opposite. Yadus maintains that the world of ideas exists. We're drawn to the world of ideas because that reflects true existence. And the world of ideas is the world of Chochmas Hashem, and that makes a person feel, on the contrary, feel very small, because he knows that in that world, which is the real reality, of which he doesn't even enter too often, because mostly he's in the world of the senses, because he's a physical being, so he recognizes how far away he is from the true reality. The world of ideas exists not as a means for the physical, but it exists per se. It exists in the sense that a person recognizes that's the real world, and that is really the reflection through that world. We could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the pshat ki yod al keis ko milchomo lo reshem ba amolek midor dor. Why is it a milchama? It's a milchama because it involves. See, milchama always involves a common ground, some kind of common territory. What are you battling over? It has to be something common. You can't battle somebody you have nothing in common. There is a common ground between Amalek and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the common ground? Ideas. You see, the Amalek is for Amalek, the idea is just a means for the human instinct, and for Yadus, the ideas reflect true existence. The ideas are really kiyod al keiska. What does it mean al keiska? It means the kisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the kisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The kisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the world of ideas. The kisei, like the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, the kisei, what is a throne? A throne is something which shows that this is what the melech, it's a proof of the existence of the melech. It says, Hashemayim kisei v'aretz adom raglai. What does it mean? It means that the entire universe reflects my malchus. The idea is the world of chachma. So the Rambam says that if a person studies the heavens and he sees the infinite chachma in the universe, that's the kisei akavod. So that's a pshat ki yod al keis ko milchama la reshem ba amolek midor dor. That's the milchama. If a person says those things, ideas, there's no Muhammad in him in the Kaddish Baruch. What do you argue about? He's stumbled completely off the track. Muhammad has to be a common ground. Where's the common ground? The world of ideas. What do ideas? Man's ability to understand. What is it? Is it simply a means for his instinctual gratification or no? It discloses a whole new world. It's the Kisei HaKavod, and it shows the person his insignificance, the exact opposite. For Amalek, the idea is something which is used as a means to make him significant, arrogant, and the supernatural fantasy world about his own egomania. And for us, it's exactly the opposite. It's Mocham al Hashem ba'Amalek. That's Hashem, Mocham al Hashem ba'Amalek, midor dor. It's an interesting thing. You see how far the Torah goes. to show that the recognition of ideas, the recognition of ideas in Torah is an objective phenomenon. It's nothing to do with the subjective. It's interesting, you have in the Megillah itself. Because first it says, when Haman went home, so it says, Vayomru lo zeresh ishto v'chol o'avav, right? But then later, when they saw their unconscious fear of the Ashgacha started to, and their attempts, the same thing over there. It's the exact same thing as we said before, that the Russia has some kind of a recognition of the Jew, and he tries to act out against it. And the anti-Semitism is really an acting out of this pathological trend. He really underneath he recognizes the danger that there's some reality in what the Jew has. And the anti-Semites are smart. They're smart. They're intelligent people. Hitler was a very intelligent man. They sense and they know. And what do they go against? They always go against the same thing. Tersh Baal Peh. That's why it says Am Kigidlos Am Mordechai Chazal Say the Chacham. Chacham. They know right away where to go. And they sense it. They go against it. But then that's what it says. Vayomulos Chachamah Vezera Shishto In Mizera HaYehudim. So that means to say that the fear of the Jew was now coming out because they saw what they feared is starting to come true. The negative recognition became a positive recognition. So it says over there, Chachamav. Weren't they the same people? Before it says, Vayomer lo oav of Zer Shishta. Why does it say, Vayomer lo Chachamav Zer Shishta? So Chazal say, very beautifully, that even a guy, when he says something intelligent, we call him a Chacham. And these were Rishayim, basically. Vayomer lo Chacham Zer Shishta. Vayomer first was oav of, and then it says Chachamav. So what do you see? You see that in Yadus, our love of Emes is so great that even when our enemies, in a moment where they were shocked into reality, they say something that's true, we call them chacham. That signifies to the nth degree the honesty and the respect that we have, because we recognize that knowledge is something that exists in the universe, and a person has to be tuned into it. And these Rishoyim, because of this event, they suddenly, at that moment, they were tuned into reality by Yom Elo Chachamav. It's an amazing thing.
This is identified.
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked the question. Question is, how come they weren't, nobody else could identify who she was? It was a good question. Why aren't anybody else able to identify? So I think the answer I gave before explains it. Why? Because really, when Mordechai said not to be Magid, it was really a psak. It was a psak that he gave out. And truth of the matter is that the Jews at that time were mostly assimilated. So there weren't that many. They assimilated in the sense. I mean, they left the ways of the Torah, Halacha. So there weren't that many people. It was a small group, really. That was Mordechai and those of his followers that were really loyal to the halacha. And he gave out a psak that you can't tell. That's it. Couldn't get through. It's like I had an incident recently. Remember an incident in Williamsburg where they had the kid was the what? Yeah, they still can't find him. That's it. Same thing. The Balei, I think there's a chazal like that that says that they all work together, not to say who she's from. Yeah, I think it's correct. What Penny's saying, I think it's correct. I said a different shot also. I don't think it's Tav Sasri. In other words, the concept of the poor, of the Goro, was two things. First of all, he was superstitious. And you see, when he fell in Adar, so he said that it's good that Moshe Rabbeinu died in that month. Yeah, but the second thing also is to show that there is no Hashgacha. That is just, the day they're going to die is just by chance. And their existence is by chance, and they're going to be destroyed by chance. It was a demonstration of the denial of the Ashkach. That's the Rambam in Hos Kiddush Chodesh, Perkei Zayin. He says, all these cheshbonis and everything I went through and all the abstract ideas and with regard to the complex mathematics that he goes through, he says, that's all Chachmei Yavan. says, all from Chachmei Yavon. He says, we had our own mathematicians and astronomers years ago, before, but we don't have them anymore. They were lost. He says, and now we follow. He says, it doesn't make any difference if a thing is true. Lo shno omro neviim, lo shno omro omos. Doesn't make any difference who says it. If it's emes, it's emes. All I am and tevim are based on the Greeks. It's an amazing thing. Most people don't realize. Yeah, there's one thing I said. I forgot. I wanted to say. I said the ein ester magedes amo molarito. So what did it show? It showed like this, that the reason was because of the Hanifa, because the Hanifa. That's the pshat, moro kochal moigialea. What did they see? They saw an interesting thing. They saw that there's a different kind of a logic. Why? Because all the Hanifa that they did, their attempts to gain political favor by the king, what happened? They were going to be destroyed anyway. Didn't mean a thing. The eighth from the Suda, did it help them? Didn't help them one bit. And Mordechai, who violated the Tzivu Yamelech, which you think that such a person should be immediately killed, on the contrary, Mordechai Yotzim Lothnei Yamelech, Vuvush Malchus Tcheles Vachur, Vatar Azor of Gedol, Vesachar Vuz Vagomar. So it showed, and that's really the Yesod of Yadus. Yadus is a different kind of logic. Different kind of logic. The logic is, you go over here, and everybody say that you're going to be going in that direction, you're going to have those results, and you wind up over there, exactly the opposite. It's an amazing thing. What kind of logic is that? The logic is based on, that's Milchama L'Hashem about Molek Midor Dor. It's based on the recognition, not the reason is a tool of the instinct, but the reason reflects a deeper reality. And if you're in line with that deeper reality, then you're in line with the cause of that deeper reality, and that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Ashkecha. That's a Mordechai lo yichrav al yishtachava. So what does it mean? It means to say that the logical thing would be to bow down. That's how you save your life. Logical way to gain politically is to cater to the Hanifa to the Melech. No, on the contrary. Hanifa to the Melech, he's going to kill you. How do you get the Melech? On the contrary, by defying his law and his order. Well, the law that he gave, you defy it. And through that you emerge his greatest hero. it's a crazy logic. But what is the logic based on? It's based upon the fact that ideas have a source. The source is Chochmas Hashem, which means not just a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as in terms of his existence, but a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of his Hashgacha. So when you act in a way, that's Mordechai lo yichrav al yishtachav avodah zarah, that's it. It's impossible. Now it's impossible to do this. It's an impossibility. He's acting in line with the source of knowledge. It's in line with the recognition of the reality of knowledge. That's what it is. That's what it means. It means recognition is a different reality. So now the logic is just the opposite. That this is real destruction of the whole soul, which is the soul of man, which lives on ideas, lives on chachma. Can't do this now. And the result is exactly the opposite. That's v'nahafachu. What's v'nahafachu? It's exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. The way Mordechai acted should have resulted in his death, and the way the Jews acted in the Mishnah should have resulted in their being praised, and then being raised. And exactly the opposite. That's the cause of v'nahafachu. That's right. That's why I let the Kabbalah start. Kabbalah start me'ava, which means a recognition of the fact that when you're in line with the reality of Chachma, that's when the person is benefited. Yeah. Basically, what I said before, it fits very well. Because why it's called Purim Hashem Afur? Because the poor was supposed to show that there is no Ashgacha. That was the whole idea. A denial of the Ashgacha. The things it's by chance. On the contrary, this was the greatest manifestation of the Yashua. That's been a half a hole. Vayivez Be'enov is an interesting Russian. Vayivez means a bazillion. Well, it means two things, really. First of all, it means it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for him to kill Mordechai. But also it means an element of bazillion. The element of bazillion arises like this. Because if he just kills Mordechai, then it indicates a personal vendetta. That's correct. But if it's on Mordechai, then it's a whole, then it's, you're right. That's a secondary pshat. That's not the primary pshat. The primary pshat for Yisbeni means it wasn't enough. This one, it wasn't enough. But there's one thing. There's another message in the Megillah. I mean, it's a hidden message, sort of. And it's tied to Chazal said it was a Nes Nister. It was a Nes Nister. What does Nes Nister mean? Nes Nister means that there was, everything worked out precisely, the timing when he walked in and everything we studied, all the factors there. You see, everything was very precise. So that's how you see the Ashgacha. But there wasn't anything yet. There was no change in the laws of nature. No change in the laws of nature. And you see also that it was based upon the actions of certain remarkable people, which means to say, apparently, that without those remarkable people, it wouldn't have occurred the way it did. I mean, that means to say, in terms of the Holocaust destruction, I mean, there's no Yadis does not guarantee a nes nigla. Yadis does not guarantee a nes. It's dependent upon the existence of Yisrael. It's dependent upon a nes nister. Even though it says Revach Hatzala Yama Lehudim Makam Acher, that's true. It means it won't be totally destroyed, but it doesn't mean that the magnitude of the nes would never have been the same without a Mordechai Nester. So there's a responsibility. It means to say that there's a responsibility in Klal Yisrael to produce people of that caliber, and that's really their that's really the way they through the people that are on that level, they really invoked Ashgacha. They really invoked Ashgacha. I mean, it's an interesting thing. But yeah, this doesn't promise an Eis Nigla. And they snigla. It's an interesting thing. Yep, it's a problem in general. In Lalameid b'nei Yehuda keshes, hinei k'suv al sefer yasher. I mean, there's some reason somebody said that we shouldn't have any guns. Guns are bad. We hate guns. And I mean, this is craziness. Lalameid b'nei Yehuda keshes, hinei k'suv al sefer yasher. The problem is that the heroes that we find in Tanakh are not in conformity with our idea of a great person and Yadis. There's some distortion there, something wrong. See, for instance, Mordechai. Mordechai was a man who was certainly a Talmud Chacham, but he was also politically very active. He was Yoshev Bishar Melech, and that was before the whole incident. And if it wasn't the fact that he was realized that it's very important for him to be Bishar Melech and to work with the king, And then to make sure with Bixam Viserish, that was before the then Achaz Varmaila. It means that he really had to act. If there wasn't a Mordechai acting rationally, you see, if Mordechai was sitting home saying Tillam all day, wouldn't have the whole Megillas Esther. It means apparently there's something wrong. I mean, and here you could see the level that we're off, because if our idea of our image of a great person somehow or other does not fit the image of the great people in Tanakh. Doesn't fit. And it means that we're off the course of Yadis. When that happens, that's why in a lot of places they don't even learn Tanakh, because they know Dovra Malach doesn't fit the image. They learn Tanakh, Dovra Malach. There's something wrong. It means that we're missing the boat. I mean, we're not on the right track. But that's a problem. That's what mixed Parsha and mixed Sanhedrin. That's what Ibn Ezra says. He says, what's what Ibn Ezra says? No matter how great a person is, he's always going to have people that are. It's impossible. That's a political fact. You can't. He has to have enemies. See, I would say that the Mishloach Monos and Matanos Lo Avyonim, really, it wasn't just mitzvah tzedakah. It means to say like this. It means to say that the reason why is there strife? Why is there really strife between people? What causes the strife? Of course, you see, when a person is happy, there's no strife. A person that's happy with his life is a happy individual. The reason why there's strife is because that day one or he's standing in their way or some other thing. If a person is happy with his life, if he realizes that he has everything he could possibly want, on the contrary, he's very benevolent. He's very friendly. There's no reason. And when he sees that he shares in the same good with somebody else, there's an identification. So what it wants to show you is by Mishloach Monos and Matan Savion that they reached a level of recognition of the great value, the real good that they have is Torah. The real gold is the Torah. So they became very, when a person feels that way, he feels satisfied with life, he's extremely happy, he has everything he needs, so then it's easy for him to be good to another human being. It doesn't bother him. There's no competition, there's no competitor. In the world, in the material world, there's always competition. In the world of a person attached to the world of Chachma, there is no competition. And somebody else can, nobody can take it away from you. On the contrary, the more Chachma you have, the more Chachma you'll have. Because the Sichsuch Chaverim, people Chaverim, and then they're talking with other people in Torah. I mean, it's on the contrary. So it showed that they reached Kimu v'Kibu, they reached a level of appreciation where there was no more, the competitive spirit was gone. Contrary, they recognize that they really have the true good, and because of the fact that other individuals, namely Jews, share in that good, so that gave them, that's the basis for real achva and achdus. Ato echad v'shimcha echad. Mikamcha Yisrael goy echad baretz. What unifies Klal Yisrael is this chachma, the appreciation of chachma. Tamid chama abim shalom b'olam. Yeah. The difference between Neis Nistar and Neis Nigla is Neis Nigla got it. Neis Nistar means the people are involved. Moro al kocha. So it was a limit, it was a Musar Haskel. That's why it affected them so much. The Neis, the miraculous was minimized. Or on the contrary, what really was maximized was the people that lived according to the system of Torah. That was a Musar Haskel. That was Kim Vikilah. Of course, God was involved. I mean, you see the timing, everything else. But that just shows you that that a person that lives according to Chachmas HaTorah is under Hashgacha. It's not an ace. I mean, Hashgacha is not an ace. I always say Hashgacha is not an ace. It doesn't say anyways, Avraham Avinu is under Hashgacha. It doesn't say it's an ace. Hashgacha is a reality. It's not an ace. A few points I felt that we could elaborate on a little bit. We mentioned the Machlekes Chazal about whether Achashverosh was a side point. Just take this first. Whether Achashverosh was a Melech Tipesh or a Melech Pikeach, right? Gemara Megillah. So it was explained. Of course, nobody holds that he was a Tipesh. I mean, it's impossible to run a Malucha like that and be a Tipesh. It's impossible. And you see from the Gemara itself. When you learn Pshat in the Gemara, it's a you have to learn Pshat that it means questioning whether he was guided essentially by his reason, by his mind, or whether he was intelligent, but he rationalized. And you have to say that Pshat in the Gemara, otherwise it's going to come out the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that one mind is going to hold the other one's a tippish. It's impossible. Okay. So, but another question occurred to me. What did Chazal care whether Achashverosh was a Melech Tippish or not? Who cares? He was a guy. I mean, what are we interested in? Why does it concern us? Why were they concerned about it? Whether Achashverosh was a Melech Tipesh or not? Everybody knows the Machlekes. But why should they be concerned about it? I mean, there has to be some kind of a connection there between Achashverosh and us. You know what I mean? That would cause Chazal to be interested in this point. What do we care if it's Melech Tipesh or not? Oh, guy, Melech. Who cares? Plenty of Goyish and Melechim. I'm going to go through the history of Goyish and Melechim and decide whether they were Tipshim or whether they were Pikhim. Who cares? But I think we gave the answer last week, basically. The answer is that what was Achashverosh really? What was Achashverosh? See, Achashverosh was the first, I mean, he was the logical anti-Semite. That's what he was. Because Chazal say that he was a Hu Achashverosh Amad Berisho Mitchilasa Vatsofa. Which means he was a Russia till the end. Itan Malach Achashverosh Mas al Oras Valiya Yom. It's Mas means Mas, and halachic definition of Mas is always Avdus. The way Ram explains why you have to pay, Mas. Because you're an Eved, Eved to the Melech, Zavdus. So it means that he subordinated everybody. He imposed they felt the Ola Malchus. He imposed an Ola Malchus on the people. So he was a Russia, basically. But Chazal were curious about Ahasuerus, because even though he was a Russia and a Sonei Yisrael, but he was a rational one. We explained last week. Why? Because he saw that the riches of Haman and Haman's evil nature would cause, what was really going against him. Would have destroyed him. So he recognized that the Jews, as much as he hates them, that they're really loyal subjects. The Jews are really always good citizens. So that's the truth of the matter. They build up the country, build up the economy, they're loyal to the government. That's part of the halachic system. And it's the only system where the only system that's really a truly just system, and that when you study the halachas in all those areas, you see that the halacha is completely objective, and that we paskin that a Jew is living in another country is an eved to the malach, because he's chayiv in taxes. What other system says that you're an eved to a stranger, a malach, even malach avodah zarah, because the halacha is objective. The halacha is completely objective, an unbelievable way. The halacha demands that a person, even us, Jews, who have a different system, are considered avodim to a strange system. That's an unbelievable thing. It's an unbelievable thing. I mean, the halacha, you know, if you look into the history of the church, there are four doctors of the church. The first one, I believe it was Jerome, I think. Am I right? Anyways, in his day, I believe it was one of the four. But anyways, in his day, the Goyim ransacked burnt the shuls, burnt the synagogues. So they came to him. He was after all, the big religious leader. And he said, we can't pay these Jews back. He says, because they're infidels. So he paskin that they don't owe the Jews any money. And that's the height of the Christian ethic. And in Yadis we say that you're not permitted to be gonev das of an oved avodah zarah. How far does it go? That even if you give him meat, that's nevela, and he thinks it's shchuta, which makes no difference to him, but you're not allowed to do that, because it's gonev das abrias. That's an objective system. Because he's going to think that you gave him something that was more valuable to you, so he's going to be, will be osir toda, who'll feel more of an obligation to you than you deserve. And to him makes no difference whatsoever. That's the halacha, even of an oved avodah zarah. That's the system of Yadis, the objective system. So Ahasuerus recognized that these Jews, much as I hate them, that they're the ones that it pays for me to embrace them. To on the contrary, they're the best thing for my malucha. Okay, a strange kind of thing, a rational anti-Semite. That was the first rational anti-Semite. Well, maybe not the first, but the first one we know of in history. So you see, rational anti-Semite. So Chazal were very curious about that. You see, Chazal were curious about that. That's why they had the machlekes. The question is, was he really moved totally by rationality in the situation of Esther and Haman, and was he really such a rational anti-Semite? Or was he moved by other emotions? You see, Esther, whatever. You see, he had the strong emotions with regard to Esther. He wanted to know, and she gave in. She told him where she came from and the whole thing. So this is something he wanted. He found out that she's a bas malachim. She's, you know, he always was impressed with aristocracy. Vashti was an aristocrat, and he was very happy. The question of Chazal, that's what I think the underlying question of Chazal is. Is it possible to have a guy like that, That's a son of Israel, but he should act totally rationally in this one respect, or no. Oh, no, he's really a melech tipesh. Which means not a fool, he wouldn't do anything stupid, but he was moved primarily by emotion, but then he was supported by logic. He was supported by logic. That's the machlekes. That's why Chazal argue about this point. It's an interesting. They were curious about the phenomenon. What kind of a phenomenon is it possible for a person to be a total Russia, absolute Russia, and yet act completely rationally in this kind of a situation where he has a hatred against the Jew, but he overcomes the hatred because he recognized the rational, or no, he was really moved by emotions, by other emotions. But it made sense, of course. The rational was a support. That's the difference between tipish and between pikeach. Pikeach means he's moved primarily by reason. Tipish means he's moved by an emotion, but he supports it. He supports it with reason. That's more like rationalizing. That's what Chazal were curious about. Yeah. The example of Ferdinand and Isabella was before the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. So Abarbanel came up with an ingenious plan, and he said, I'll be able to increase the wealth of the country unbelievably. But Torquemada said, are you going to sell him with a cross? He said, are you going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver? And that was the end of the whole thing. So there you see, that was Malach Tikvish. That was Malach Tikvish.
Back.
It's Richard mentioned Paro. But Paro really, if you look carefully, if you study the Parsha carefully, you see that Yosef really taught him all the ideas and Chachma. And he was very impressed with Chachma. It's named Chacham v'Navon Kamocha. That phrase is used with regard to Umas Olam later in Dvarim. That the Umas Olam will say, Rakam Chacham v'Navon in Agaya Gadlaze. Exact same expression. So you see that Paro was one that he appreciated the Chachma. He was moved by the Chachma. But Achashverosh was never moved by Chachma. Achashverosh was Omad Berisho Mitchlas V'Atzafa. Paro had a lapse where he recognized the Chachma of Torah. So it's a different kind of personality. See. But Rabbi Meir mentioned Nixon. could be. He was the, he made many anti-Semitic statements, but yet he really helped the Jews. It could be he was that way. It's possible. What? Yeah, both Kissinger and he helped Israel, yeah. I mean, and he did make anti-Semitic statements. And it shows he's basically anti-Semitic. But, yeah. That it shows that there is such a personality. That's the personality of an Achashverosh. That's why Chazal were curious about that. Okay, somebody asked me at the end of the shiur, a good question. They said, why is it that the Megillah really ends with two mitzvahs? The mitzvah of Mishloach Monos Ishlareyehu and Matanos Lavyonim. That's a good question. I was thinking about it. And the Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lavyonim, apparently, if you look through and you read through the Megillah, you see, it repeats it a lot of times. Mishloach Manos, Yisrael, Matanos Lavyonim. This epitomizes the whole change that took place in Klal Yisrael at that time. So why these two mitzvahs? So we mentioned last week that that Mishloach Manos means is really Mishloach Manos is what? Is Reus on the highest level. Mishloach Manos Ishla Re'eo. It's Reus. So it says what, like the Tfilas Kain Gadol. It says Shnas Reus forget the Lashon over there. It says and the absence of Kinov Sacharus. So you see that kin of a sacris, competitiveness, is considered evil. And I think there's something more here. I think what the Megillah is telling us is that really if a person would overcome his bad midos, he would have a natural avas abrios. An avas abrios is really a state of mind that a person would have naturally. Whatever, emotionally also. It's a natural state in man. What prevents it is really the bad midos of a person. Bad midos of a person. The kino and the competitive spirit. That's what really removes the feeling of friendship towards another human being, because you're jealous of him. You don't want him. He's a threat to you. You see, that's what he may take something away that you have, or else he's liable to have something that you want. So, of course, the question is, why can't you have kinah with regard to mitzvah too? Kinah so from Tar B'Chachma. You see that you can have kinah. Why can't I be mekanei somebody else who has good midos? Simply, I'm envious of the fact that he's perfected and I'm not. You see, why can't that be a cause of kinah? But you see, the Megillah says it's the opposite. The kimu v'kiblu, once they reached a state of realization, they realized the lesson, the limud of what took place was a limud not through svarim, it was a limud through events and through personalities that were right then and there. So why is it that you can't have apparently, it's impossible to have kinah and hatred with regard to envy with regard to somebody else's perfection? Well, why not? I want to be a gadol. I want to be like a Moshe Feinstein. I want to be a Vilna Gaon. Why is it that can't be? It's an interesting question. Okay. Yeah, let's take another point first. It's interesting. You see, we said last week we identified a certain essential theme in the Megillah. Central theme in the Megillah. We said that what was the limud really? What was the limud? Yeah, Mara, that's true. They saw from these people, you know, the Mordechai and Esther. And in opposition to that, they saw from Achashverosh and Haman. So they understood. They saw how the way of Torah. That's correct. Yeah, but we said something more last week. We mentioned the fact that why was it Einester Magedes Amo Malata? So I wanted to say the pshat was because Mordechai Tziva Aleh Shelo Sagid, because he realized why were they chayav Misu, because they were assimilating and they were Nenemus Mesukas Achashverosh. So Nenemus Mesukas Achashverosh, it's the beginning of the process of assimilation. So he knew, Mordechai knew, that it would be very bad for the Jews if Achashverosh would show them favoritism. So he knew that would be their destruction. So, and we said that the limud was based upon that platform. What was the platform? The platform was that all the things that they did that were politically correct to do for Achashverosh in order to gain his favor, they all failed. Everything failed. Why did they eat from his mishnah? They want to show him that we're part of the malchus. So they were really subordinating themselves to him. And they saw that with all that subordination and everything they showed him, how much they respect the melech, how much they respect the king, he was going to destroy them. This same king was going to destroy them. And Mordechai, lo yichra v'lo yishtachava. Lo yichra v'lo yishtachava. He said, on the contrary, that would be the thing that's going to kill you. But on the contrary, what happened? Mordechai yotzam l'fnei ha-melech b'vush malchus tcheles v'chor. Exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. So what does that show you? What does that show you? It shows you that the Jew employs a crazy kind of logic. At a certain point, the Jew employs a crazy kind of logic. And basically, a Jew holds, the Jew uses politics. Chachma uses politics. Esther uses the Chachma. Mordechai was the first one. He was a Bishar Malach, and he told over what Bitzu was Sereshman did. That was Chachma. Politics. See, it's an interesting thing. Mordechai, as a matter of fact, Mordechai and the Jews were doing the same thing, but they were both showing their loyalty to the king. You see, Mordechai showed his loyalty, and the ones that were Nenem and Sunas Achashverosh showed their loyalty. But there's one difference. The difference is that the ones that were Nenem and Sunas Achashverosh, they showed their loyalty by violating the system of Halacha. by violating the system. Mordechai showed loyalty, but no violation. So there comes a point, and that's a yesod in yadus, comes a point that a person realizes that he has to use a crazy kind of logic. Crazy kind of logic. A logic that would lead you to believe that you're going to be destroyed, and on the contrary, the person is not destroyed, the person is raised to the highest level. Okay? Yeah. Now, the question that I want to raise is this logic. Where is this logic really expressed? This kind of logic is expressed in one area. In one area. Which area is it that expresses this logic? This ideal, it's an ideal in Yadus. It's the same logic of Rabbi Akiva that said that we stop learning Torah, that's it, like fish in the water. It means that just like a Kal Vachomer, we can't exist. We can't exist. It's impossible. That was the logic of Rabbi Akiva. And it was the logic, really, of Avraham Avinu. He was the first one to employ that logic. The logic of Kivshan Aish. So this is the logic of Klal Yisrael, that there reaches a certain point where doing a thing which would seem damaging is really the very thing which saves the person. And we abandon all kind of politics, and this is the logic. Crazy logic. Where do you see this logic? This logic has a separate mitzvah. There's a very special mitzvah that really is based upon this logic. Which mitzvah is it? Practical mitzvah. It's based upon this logic. There's one mitzvah. There's one mitzvah that's based that this whole logic is expressed on a constant basis. Constant basis. So you sowed in Yadis. Tzedakah. That's right, exactly. Tzedakah is the mitzvah. Tzedakah is the mitzvah. Because tzedakah is really a crazy idea. Tzedakah means that you give away money, and on the contrary, not only don't you lose, you gain money. That's aser to aser. Aser bishvil teshetis asher. It's an interesting thing. It sounds crazy. Any businessman, you give away money, how are you gonna get more money? It's crazy. That's why tzedakah, really, the mitzvah of tzedakah, reflects to the greatest degree on a constant basis, a mitzvah that's always there, the crazy logic, which is you give away money, and on the contrary, you become richer, you become wealthier through this giving away. That's really the very halacha of tzedakah. That's the halacha of tzedakah. That's why the Rambam says with regard to tzedakah, it's an interesting thing. The Rambam says with regard to tzedakah that the mitzvahs matnas aniyim, the Rambam says, hilchos matnas aniyim. So the Rambam says in Perek Asiri, he says, chayovin onu lizoher b'mitzvah tzedakah yoser mikol mitzvah saseh. It's an amazing thing. Rambam's Perek Asiri matnas aniyim. The mitzvah of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, there's one mitzvah that your person should be more careful, cautious about than any other mitzvah. I know, it's an amazing thing. I mean, Krishna, any mitzvah. The mitzvahs I say, which you're chayiv in the greatest zeirus, the greatest caution. That means to say that a person has to have the greatest care in this area. That means before he has to be perfectly sure that he's really putter from tzedakah, the correct cheshbon, not to be a penny off. The greatest zahiras is a person's obligated to have with regard to the mitzvah of the one mitzvah. The mitzvah is an amazing thing. All the mitzvahs that there are, tefillah and every mitzvah, say this one requires the greatest zahiras. Why? Why is it so? Why should this require the greatest zahiras? Why should be so careful not to be over this mitzvah? So the Ram says, he says, Shatzdoka simen letzadik zera Avraham Avinu, shenemar ki yedativ lemana sheyitzaves bonov lasos tzedaka. Okay, vein kisa Yisrael miskonein v'daso emes omedes elo betzdoka, shenemar betzdoka tikonani, vein Yisrael nigolin elo betzdoka, shenemar tzim b'mishpati padev eshaver betzdoka. It's an amazing thing. Tzedakah basically is called a gula. That's what he's saying. It's called a gula. The gula is totally in tzedakah. The das emes is established through tzedakah. The zera avram, the simon for zera avram is tzedakah. Why? Because, as I said before, the one that established that logic was really Avram Avinu. Ki yedata l'mano she yisav is b'alasso tzedakah mishpat. Tzedakah mishpat. Tzedakah is counter-logical. It goes against the practical logic. That's the one mitzvah. That is the one mitzvah in the Torah that is an act that demonstrates, determines whether the person really believes in the logic of Torah or whether he accepts the logic of the logic of business logic. You see, that's the area. That is the area. It's an interesting thing. Chazal say that a person that doesn't give tzedakah is considered an Oved Avodah Zarah. And they darshan a gzera shava. Why? Because it says with regard to ir and idachas, yotzu anoshim b'nei blial mikibecha. What is blial? Bliol. It means bliol. It means to say they don't carry the yoke of God. It means they have their own projections. That's avodah zarah. And it says the same thing. It says kiyia hishamalocha panyia im levavcha dover bliyal lemar karva shnasa sheva shnasa shmita v'roa incha b'chicha avyam v'lo sitin lo. So what is it? So it's an interesting thing. The word bliyal, the gzera sheva, is the Torah used the word. What Chazal is saying is the Torah used the word bliyal over here for a reason to show you that this is avodah zarah. And where did it's an interesting thing though. Where did it use it? Not in the positive, but in the negative. If you refuse to give tzedakah, if you can't give tzedakah, then it shows you that you're an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why? Because it shows you that the person thinks that he can establish his own security. He can establish his security through his own means, through his own logic. You see, and that's really against all of Yadus. Yadus maintains that man was given a mind and he has to use intelligent means to attain his goal, political means, intelligent means. Never be crazy, never abandon his reason. But there's one thing that he knows, there's one underlying logic to the logic. And the underlying logic to the logic is that the end is, it's all totally, you know, it all depends upon how the person relates to the source of all chachma, that's God. And if his relationship to the source of chachma, relationship to God is not correct, then all the logic is worthless. Logic is, he can't succeed. It's impossible. If he thinks that he's going to secure himself through his own kind of protective devices, that's going to secure him. That's when he's gone off logic. You see? That's what Yadus demands. Yadus demands that the person recognize that he has to use logic. What anyway, Yaakov Avinu used three things. He used tefillah, he used Doron, and he used Mochama. Logic, yes, that's right. But the logic is always dependent upon one underlying concept. And that is that the person can only succeed if he's in line with the source of all chachma, it's the recognition of chachma per se. That's the difference. That's what I mentioned last week. That with Haman, Haman recognized chachma, but Haman's recognition of chachma, the chachma was a tool, a means that subordinated to the instinctual end. Whereas Yadus recognizes chachma as being an objective, absolute reality. It's a subordination to the reality of chachma. That's the difference. So really, you see, so what comes out is, what results is, that's why the mitzvah that exemplifies the perfection that took place in Kol Yisrael, which is the mitzvah, Matanas Levianim. That explains Matanas Levianim. That's what Matanas Levianim is. That is the mitzvah. It's the one mitzvah which a person is mechuyev to be careful about more than any other mitzvah in the Torah. Yeah, and like the Rambam says. Rambam says that's halacha. La olam ein adam me'oni min atzdaka. Vein dovo ro velo hezik niglal b'shvil atzdaka. Shenemar v'hoiso v'hoya maise atzdaka shalom. That means that it's impossible. In other words, it could never, according to business logic, it's possible. Everybody knows that if you go broke, there's a point you reach where a person go broke, he loses everything he had. And that point, there could be a certain amount of money that just takes him over the edge. It's a logical thing. If he wouldn't have, that last amount could have been the amount that could have saved him. And what does Halacha say? What does Ram say? Halacha. That it's impossible that amount could be the amount that he gets his tzedakah. Impossible. That cannot be. So it's an amazing thing that this is a halacha. Ramaz is a halacha. It's a fact. It's a fact. Means to say, and that's really the Navi says, the Navi says in Malachi. What does the Navi say in Malachi? Uvechanuni no bazos, amar Hashem tzvakos. So what does it mean? The Gemara Chazal say it's the only case where a person can test God is with tzedakah. So what does it mean? So what does it mean? I explained it one time because I explained the pshat is it means it doesn't mean that a person can just give tzedakah and expect a return of millions of dollars. What it means is if the person says I request lechem bracha ad b'li doy. It means if the person gives tzedakah and his relationship to money is a rational one. In other words, it's not crazy. If it's obsessional, it borders on the insane where there's endless greed, that God doesn't respond to. But a person is looking for, looks at money as just a vehicle in order that he should be able to live a life of perfection, and he gives tzedakah, he definitely has to succeed. That's the Navi says. That's another. So you see, this hashgacha remained in Klal Yisrael. This hashgacha remained in Klal Yisrael. It's just like really, as far as I can see, it's exactly the same thing like the nisim that happened in the Mikdash and in the Bayis Rishon. It means that there's an element of hashgacha that remains in the world with regard to this one area of tzedakah. Why? Why is it so? The reason is because this exemplifies the whole philosophy of Yadis. This is the philosophy. A person doesn't give tzedakah, it means to say that he's not nizah, not only that, but he's not nizah on tzedakah. There's a chiyuv be nizah tzedakah more than any other mitzvah, because that's the entire philosophy of Yadis. It's the crazy logic that, on the contrary, giving away the money is how you get the money. Doesn't make any sense in terms of the bookkeeper. It doesn't make any sense to the bookkeeper. But it's the whole logic of Yadis. That's the logic of Yadis. That's what Matanas Avyana was the Matanas Avyana was the central mitzvah of the farm. Okay. This is something I think we should be clear. If the person's goal is endless greed, then there's no hashgacha. That's what it says. Varkasim bracha ad b'li dai. But okay, if there's no dai, there's no b'li dai. That's it. There's no. That's a person, endless amounts of money. Anyone who's into endless greed, there is no hashgacha. The hashgacha is only for a person who's rational, sees money as the proper, as a means. I don't mean the person wants to live bedachkas. I don't mean that. I mean to say a person that wants to live like the Rabbeinu Yonah says, that a person is the Sar of the Melech. And the Melech says, look, he says, you're my treasurer, take anything you want for yourself. Just make sure to give out, do exactly as I tell you to do with the money that I'm giving you. Yourself, take whatever you want, enjoy yourself. The person will reach a shear where he has more than he needs. There's no reason for the excess. He feels a sense of excess. A person who's involved, who's obsessionally involved with money, never feels excess. It's never enough. There's always another fantasy goal. That's not what the Navi is talking about. That God doesn't cater to that. That's the destruction of a human being. It's insanity. But a person is rational in the character. The person will be able to live bar vacha, everything he wants, he has more than he needs. That's the guarantee of tzedakah. That's the guarantee of tzedakah. So don't ask me questions. You can't ask questions of individuals. That's what the pasuk says. That's what the pasuk says. That it cannot be a case. There cannot be a case that the person will live be bedachkus if he complies with the rationale. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee from the Navi, a guarantee from God. Yes. What did Achashverosh want, really? I mean, it wasn't so much that he wanted people to, he was so concerned about everybody's enjoyment. What he wanted was Baroso Eskvod Malchus, Baroso Eskvod Malchus, that's what he wanted to show. So the Jews could have come to see, you know, tell the Melech it's wonderful, fantastic. But to be nenemis with it, that was the mistake. The mistake was that that's not enough. The mistake was, we'll show that see, if it was politically, they could have just, you know, the Melech would be happy. See, they recognize it, but it was more. They wanted to show there's no difference between these subjects, us, and your other subjects. We're all the same. We're all united. That was the mistake. That was the hachno that destroyed them. That was the false hachno.
When he says,
that's right. He's right. Nobody was forced. Well, that's right. The pasuk says itself. Ain't ones. Ain't ones. No force. And by the way, if you look at the Torah, look at the Shulchan Aruch of the Torah, you'll find out that Meiser is not so great. it's 20%. Meiser is Midabendis. 20% is really the amount. Meiser's meet a bainus. Okay. But anyways, that's the Rambam, it's the Yesod, it's Avram Avinu, it's Lasos Dokon Mishpat. So it's Dok, it's Yesod of Yadis. Yesod of Yadis. That's why it's Matanis of Yadis. Now the question is, yeah, I wanted to get back to the, that's Matanis of Yadis. Mishlach Manas, yeah. You see, we mentioned last week also, we said that there are two kinds of ego. So we mentioned Achashverosh's ego. That's an ego that a person has where they support their ego by pointing to certain accomplishments. Okay? So we said that it's a person that's not on the highest level. I mean, the person could even be a Russia. I mean, if that's his real involvement, it's a Russia. Barroso, Associate, Roma, Malchuso. So he's a Russia. But we said, but that Russia is to be distinguished from another kind of Russia that intrinsically feels superior, doesn't even have a need for accomplishment. He feels superior. And what is it? But what does he do? What he must have, you see, what he must have is the support and the recognition of the people. The support and the recognition of the people. That's like Haman, Hitler, all these people. You see, they don't point to accomplishments. They don't need accomplishments, really. The accomplishment is only an external phenomena, but they believe that they're intrinsically superior. That's Amalek. So you see two kinds of egotistical people. Egocentric people. Yeah. But there's a third person that was represented in the Megillah, and that was Mordechai. And Mordechai is the exact opposite. Because Mordechai is the person that requires no support whatsoever from other people. Where's the pasuk that shows this? The pasuk shows this by after Achashverosh gave Mordechai all that covet. The covet malchus, the highest possible covet that a person could imagine to receive. So what does it say? Vayoshev Mordechai el Shar HaMelech Chozar L'Sako V'Tayniso. It means to say he was completely unaffected. He returned to his mourning, to his sackcloth, and to his mourning, which means that it was just an interruption. This cover was just a rude interruption. He had to put up with it because logic dictates you had to do it politically, you had to do it. But emotionally, he was completely unmoved by the recognition of the people. You see? That's really three different characters, three different kinds of people. People that are dependent upon others in two ways, one through accomplishment, one intrinsically, but he must have the praise of the people. That's his whole security is that he constantly is being applauded and praised by human beings. And then there is another individual who what human beings think doesn't immaterial, doesn't mean anything to him. That's Mordechai. Mordechai is in a different world, different reality. As long as he knows that his reality is his life is in line with God, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all the real. That's all it is. That's the people on the immaterial, nonsensical. Doesn't add anything. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't is meaningless. Can't mean anything. Actually, when there's one thing there's one thing that you have to say, and that is that insofar as a person is affected by people, by the recognition of people. Insofar as he's affected by the recognition of people, he must be in denial of God. Has to be that way. Has to be. Why? Because it's an impossibility for a person to recognize God in people. This is impossible. Because if his reality is God, what are people? People know that this is meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. So insofar as a person is moved by the recognition of other human beings, it is ipso facto denial of the recognition of God. It has to be. Must be that way. But of course, I mean, we're talking about a very high level. What does Chazal say? Chazal say, halavai, that a person should have mora shamayin kamara basav adam. But it's an extremely high level. But that was the level of Mordechai. That's the level of a Navi. So therefore, What I want.
Is that emotion? Is that simply just one example?
Let me put it this way. A person cannot say that my life, I'm happy with my life because God recognizes me and people recognize me. It's impossible. Only people. If there's a recognition, so far as recognition of God, people are meaningless. It's impossible. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. There's no, you can't be toe-faced these two together. It's just like, it's a tie to the sorcery. It's impossible. It's an impossibility.
The others,
that's right. Acknowledgement by others is, if insofar as that moves a person, it's ipso facto denial of God. Has to be the way. Yeah, Matzachem Be'ini Elokim Va'odom is a barometer. That's a Zui Derech Yishara She'yivo Lo Odom Koshi Teferes Lo Sel V'Seferes Lo Min Odom. It means that if you're living properly, we'll get to that in a minute. If you're living properly, so then people will recognize it also. Tamid Chacham and Marbim Shalom Balam. Okay. Now Okay. Now the thing is like this. The question was, why is it that a person cannot have envy with regard to a metaphysical good? You see, a person can't have envy with regard to a metaphysical good, like a there can't be any kinon and sacharus competition with regard to perfection. Why not? He's more. I'm envious of the fact that he's more perfected than I am. The answer is, that envy always stems from the recognition of man. It always stems from that realm. See, if you're envious, the envy is always because of the fact that this person is getting a certain kind of recognition from other people. It's rooted in the world of psychological reality. In the world of absolute reality, it's an impossibility. It's nonsensity. Because in the world of the absolute, the person's concern is simply with regard to himself. I mean, that's his reality. And with regard to achieving and attaining perfection in reality. The other person's existence has nothing to do. The comparison is always, because in the back of that person's mind, there is a human judge. Human judge. And somebody in the back of their mind that they're trying to satisfy, you see, some kind of a norm that is rooted in a human person that's giving an evaluation. You see? That's the best way I can explain it. But a person who's interested in perfection is only interested in one thing. He's only interested in reality. Reality is only concerning him. It's an interesting thing. You see, Chazal express, like the Gemara says in my Katan, I think it was Rav Chisda, I don't remember it. He said that I was mispalel for two things. I was mispalel that I should have the wealth of, I think it was Rav Papa, I'm not sure, I don't remember it. Another Amar, yeah. And I was also mispalel for the anivus of a certain, that I should get the anivus of another one of the Amarayim. So he said one thing they gave me, another thing they didn't. The money they gave me, but the anivus I never they didn't give me. That I wasn't zachata. So, but if you read that Gemara, you see, it's not an envy with a kinoa. You see, it's a recognition. It's different on the contrary. It's a recognition of the perfection that this individual had and a desire to attain it. And he said, at the end of his life, he said that they didn't. That's it. I wasn't zochet to this. They're realistic. So that's not envy of the kind we're talking about. That's not envy that creates sinah. That's on the contrary. That's a different kind of a thing. That's a recognition of a reality. That this person had a reality, and I was always misspelled that I should be zochet to have this man's level of anivus. This person's level of anivus. Of course, anivus in Yadis. Is not social on Eris. It's a deep concept, a deep idea. It means a recognition of the person's place in reality and overcoming of the psychological reality. It's a recognition of a true metaphysical reality, a real place. And it's a difficult thing because it's a fearful thing. There's a tremendous fear. It means to say, I mean, it's a fear of insignificance. It's a fear of insignificance carries with it in a human being a tremendous fear. Tremendous fear. It's almost like you pull out the rug from under him. He's insignificant. He's nobody. You see? But I, somebody in the eyes of God, that's a very difficult thing for a person to be able to have that, to be totally his mind, and his mind, the only reality is God's reality, not man's reality. The only reality is God's reality, not man's reality. To negate it totally. So it's a tefillah we say every day. The question is how much kavanah we have. Elokein etzol shenim eroh. Kalalai nafshi sidon, the nafshi ke ofala kaltia. That's an amazing tefillah. Amazing tefillah. Amazing tefillah to the end of Shemoneh Esrei of us. It's unbelievable. But that's what the tefillah is. It means to say that, and then it says, after that, the nafshi ke ofala kaltia, psachli bi b'tzar secha v'mitzvah secha tedaf nafshi. It means to say that the only way that a person can really be involved in chachmas haTorah, l'shma, is only if he can tolerate nafshi ke'ofala kol tiyah. That's the only way. That's the only way. But that's a tremendous level. That's a tremendous level. It means a total negation. And a total negation. That is the desire that you see in people for fame and popularity, which is the most powerful desire, always appearing in different disguises, of course. But the most powerful underlying desire in this society is completely crazy, because in this society, a person can become famous for the craziest reasons. It doesn't matter what he is. He's a crook. He's a killer. As long as you put him on television, he'll be happy. So the whole thing becomes the desire for fame. That's the essence of our whole society, really. that's the biggest of our desire in this society. But the thing is that it's not just a positive thing. It's not just a positive. I mean, positive everybody recognizes. Ego, glorification, people recognize that. The self-glorification and the person being, the desire to be enthralled with his own greatness, you see, that's the positive aspect. But I want to tell you that there's a negative also. There's another side to the coin. Namely, that there is a tremendous fear that propels this desire. The fear of insignificance. Truth of the matter is insignificance is the greatest thing. If a person would realize how great insignificance is, I think anybody would choose it over being important. I'll tell you why. An insignificant person really has no worries. You don't have to worry about what you said to the guy last time, if he thinks this of you, if he thinks that. If you were successful, if you impressed this person, you didn't impress them, doesn't make any difference. You're insignificant anyways. If a person was to think, and killing themselves and doing all the craziest lives, the worst lives basically. These people they can't even enjoy the simple things that an average person should have. But the reason is because the person is propelled by a tremendous fear, a tremendous fear that he's insignificant. It's an abysmal fear, and to overcome that requires tremendous courage, godless Adam, to be able to do that. Requires tremendous godless Adam. Speaking with regard to Mordechai, that's right, with regard to Mordechai, yeah. So what I want to say is this, that therefore a person who is interested in perfection, in reality, it's not a comparative phenomenon. It's an absolute. And therefore what the other person has does not play any role. The reason why one is envious of another person is because of the fact that behind that is the recognition of people. That's why he's envious. Because he feels, I'm living this way, people would recognize me. I don't want to recognize him. He has more. The recognition is based, it's recognition of man, not the recognition of God. Recognition of God is a different kind of phenomenon. Does not, on the contrary. What I want to say is even further, that a person who has reached a level where they've removed from themselves the desire of recognition by man will find that they naturally have a love of man. It's an avas abrios. Avas abrios, I believe, is more, it's not just a rational thing, avas abrios. I would say that avas abrios is an emotion, there's an emotional dimension to avas abrios, which is a natural one. And what is it? That a person naturally, if he would be removed from the hatred and the competitiveness and the sin, the sinas chinam that he has for other people, if those imperfections were removed from him, he would naturally be imbued with a love for his fellow man. It's a natural thing. After all, he's a min ha'anushi. There's a certain identification that takes place. The person belongs to the min ha'anushis. Belongs to Claudia Serraro primarily, and then it extends to Minanusius as well. And you see that great people had this experience. Sadi Goyen says, why did he write a sefer? Just because of that reason. He wrote a sefer. Why does Sadi Goyen spend time? After all, I mean, the things that he wrote in the sefer, he knew already. Writing a sefer is a very hard thing. Giving a shiur is easier. Why? You give a shiur, at least you give a shiur, there's interaction. You see something new. Somebody has a kasha. And last week we were discussing free will. Is that somebody asked a good kasha? Somebody else made a suggestion. You come out with a new idea. But writing a sefer, I mean, even though it's true, clarify your thoughts. But on the whole, when Sadi Goyen wrote a sefer, I don't believe that for limud, it would have been much more appropriate to sit down and learn b'chavrusa. Arichas v'sayim is the real way to be kind of Torah. Why did he do it? He writes in his Hakdama. He did it because he felt. He felt impelled by a love, an ava for Klal Yisrael, for other people, for other human beings. And you see great people, truly great people also have this experience. It's a great person that has experience. A regular person is not going to have it. But like you see that Albert Einstein also had that. That's why he went for Jews. He said, as a matter of fact, a month before he died, he wrote a letter to someone. He said, I want to thank you for making me aware of my Jewish soul. An amazing statement. And he really didn't have a knowledge of Torah, but he was on a very high level, a perfected person. And he went, he spent hours, he wasn't well for Zion, for Eretz Yisrael, Zionism. He felt a kesher. He didn't, in his early life, he was just the opposite. In his early life, he's a citizen of the world, and no identification with Klal Yisrael. But later, towards the end of his life, he started to realize a certain kesher, an identification. Why? Because that's a natural phenomenon. It's a natural phenomenon in man. Natural phenomenon. A person that's perfected will feel an identification and a love for another person. He can even tolerate the other person's imperfections. Even because avas abrios has to demand, why can't a person tolerate another individual's imperfections? For a simple reason, because he's not above those imperfections. You see, he himself has those imperfections, and when he sees another person that's trying to beat him out, to win, it's an adversary because the battle's on, because he is in the same battle. Like we said last week, Muhammad demands common grounds. Can't have Muhammad of what? Of nothing. There's no relationship. So with regard to this, also true. Same thing over here. That the reason why you have hatred towards another person is his imperfection is because there's a common ground. So it brings out a mochama. Is it? But if a person is above it, he knows that that's not the good. This is an unfortunate state that this other person is always contradictory, because a person is always a contradiction, because people always espouse, they always maintain that the main thing is perfection, and yet they have a tremendous anger towards people who don't have perfection. But why? If perfection really is good, so this person is unfortunate, you feel sorry for him. On the contrary, it's tremendous hatred. Because truth of the matter is that they really believe that the good is what this guy wants, the same as he wants. But I'm suffering and I'm controlling stuff, and he's not. That's not fair. That's not fair. So people are always in a contradiction. But a person who recognizes what the true good is really has rachmanis for a person with his imperfections. It's an unfortunate thing. Unfortunately, suffering. A person has to be suffering. Anyone with a chacham knows that he has to be suffering. So therefore, you can even feel ava towards an individual in spite of his imperfection. I believe that unless you can love another person in spite of his imperfections, I don't think you'd really have ava sabrius. I don't think it's possible. Because everybody has mishigas. You're not going to find a person without mishigas. And if you're not above that, you really can't have a v'aftal recha kamach. It's impossible. You have to be on that level. So that's why mishloach man. And what does that level depend upon? It's the same thing as mentioned before. The level depends upon, it's really one theme in the whole Megillah. What's the theme? The theme is the recognition of the objective world of Chachmas Hashem. That's what it is. That's the one thing. Everything stems from there. And if a person has that recognition, that's the real world. So then the kin on the sacris is removed. And on the contrary, he has avas abrios. He has avas abrios. And that's mishloach manas ishlo reyo. That's reyos. That's why the Megillah, which is really, as Chazal explained the Megillah, you see behind the scenes that the whole Megillah was kimu v'kiblu, a whole revolution with regard to Kabbalah Satara. So that's expressed in these two mitzvahs. Mishloach manos ishlo reyehu, where there is no hatred, there's no kinah, on the contrary, that there's a tremendous influx of shalom, and matanas lavyanim. Two things. It's expressed in the natural feeling of ava from one person for another person, and as I said, in spite of his imperfections. You can't say in spite of his imperfections, you'll never. Most people say, of course I'd love him. If he was a nice guy, it would be a nice person, of course. But he's this, he's that. Always many reasons why he's not Mekayim of after Recha Kamala. But truth of the matter, there's no reason. The reason is one reason. The reason is because he's on the same level. He can't rise above the level. That's the reason. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. That's the whole of the that's the essence of that's a recognition of a different kind of reality. Reality, God's reality. So at any rate, that's why really it says that that's why the pasuk says with regard to matanas of yanim. The Rambam says why is it ain adam me'ani min atzdaka? Vein dovar rav lo hezik niglal bishvil atzdaka shenemar v'hoya ma'isa atzdaka shalom. Ma'isa atzdaka shalom. It means to say, you see, there's two things that express perfection in man. It's an interesting thing. One is where the person, it's been odom lachavero, where a person reaches a level where the kin is removed and it's a natural state of shalom. And or the second thing is that the contrary logic, the crazy logic, that by the crazy logic, which is that by giving away, he gains. By giving away the money, he becomes enriched. So both really have one common core. They're two expressions, but there really is, there's one common concept there. One common core. What's the core? The core is the recognition of the reality of the world of Chochmas Hashem and being in line with that reality. That's why it says Vahoya Maisa Tzedakah Shalom. It means to say that's the belief of a Jew, is that as long as he's in line with that world of reality, then no harm can happen to him. And if he's not in line with that world, no matter what kind of success he thinks he's going to have, but there cannot be, it's total destruction. It's exactly the opposite, it's total destruction. So the Megillah, the point I want to make is like this. We don't look for, when I say that the person will be successful, we don't mean to say that the person will in fact be successful. And that's what the person looked for, success in this world. That was the Maisa with Charan and Avram, and the Kibshon Eish. So Charan said, I'll see what happens. So he jumped in too. So it means the commitment, the commitment really is, it's like Maisa Rabbi Kiva. I mean, Rabbi Kiva uses the same logic. Rabbi Kiva, Dara Kiddush Hashem. It means the logic is a true one. It means to say that this is what life is. A recognition of that this is life. And even if he dies, okay, so he dies. So that's a superficial existence. But the real existence he's in line with. That's why when Mordechai did it, it wasn't a matter of he knew he was going to be successful. But the nes of Purim was that the fact that they were successful materially reflected, it caused people to see the true idea. It reflected the true idea, the real success, which is a metaphysical, underlying metaphysical success. You see? It was the material success reflected the metaphysical success. But the essence was the metaphysical recognition. Okay. Well, you see, let me explain. The Ava Sabrios is based upon the same concept as the recognition of Chochmas Hashem. It means to say, I mentioned this many times, so what is Ava Sabrios? Ava Sabrios is like this, that if a person has Ava Hashem, he must have an Ava for the creation, which God endowed with that unbelievable ability. So he must have an Ava for that. It's a natural phenomenon. But the thing is, it's actually, I'm glad you mentioned it, because it's really on two scores. I just mentioned insofar as the natural emotion of identification of the Minonushis. That's one. But the Ava is really built on an even more powerful basis, and that's true psychologically. It's a psychological phenomenon that fits in line. But the Ava is really built on the philosophical basis, namely that a person must have an Ava for that creation that is endowed with the Tzelem Elokim, that has that potential. You must have an Ava. That's why a Russia there's sinner. By a Russia there's no such thing. And I see a lot of these people that write these articles today, that represent the position of orthodoxy. But what I see a lot of times, like they say that you're not allowed to hate anybody. You know, no matter how bad they talk about. I mean, Rishay Olam even say, well, we don't hate them. We just hate their actions. That's not true. That's against Yadus. Pasuk says, David HaMelech says, Ki mesanecho ha-reshem esno. That the ones that hate God, I hate. Why? Because the Avas Abrios is based on that potential. The potential that God gave man, the potential to this unbelievable, I hate to call it a tool, I mean, it's a means, vehicle through which he can perceive the ultimate reality. Chachma of the Bria, what's behind the secrets of the universe, the secrets of Yadis, of Torah, of Chachmas Olakim. So that, anyone that's endowed with that ability, you must have an Ava for. Provided the ability has not been so distorted that it's incapable of functioning. In that case, then there must be sinah, because you must say that this person took this great gift and totally destroyed it. That evokes sinah. But as long as the person has the potential, his weaknesses, Yes, yeah, the Rav said a good shot. The Rav said, Yitamo chatoyim min ha'oretz. So he says, chatoyim v'lo choltim. So the Rav said a beautiful shot. He says, the difference between chatoyim and choltim is a chote is a person that commits a sin. Chatoyim means his essence, his chait. Anshei sedom royim v'chatoyim lar Hashem ha'ol. Yitamo chatoyim min ha'oretz. Chatoyim v'lo choltim. Gemara brachas. Choltim means the person committed a sin. Chatoyim means that's his essence. So there must always be an ava for chotim. Chotim, everybody's a chotim. Weaknesses, nonsense, mishigas, crazy things, you must still have an ava because the potential is still alive. But if the person reaches a point where the potential is totally destroyed, then on the contrary, it evokes sinah. He took the greatest gift and he destroyed it. Has to evoke sinah. The same, it's just like avas Hashem and yiras Hashem are two sides of one coin, the way the Rambam explains it. Avas Abrios and Sinas Arusha are two sides of the same coin. It stems from the same exact source. And in terms of identification, of course, there can't be any identification between the Tzaddik and the Rasha. So psychologically and philosophically, it evokes Sinah and hatred. But it's a different kind. What the world fails to recognize is, see, the world is shallow. I mean, they try to take over things from our Torah and make a religion out of it, but without any depth, without any knowledge, without any understanding. So they thought, I mean, of course, they didn't, that doesn't even hold water in terms of the facts, but they thought that it's bad to hate a person. They thought, I don't know where they got this from, after Recha Kamocha, but the other psukim they never looked at, and they came up with this crazy idea. What they failed to understand is that it is a personal hatred that is bad, personal hatred that the Torah is against. But a hatred that's based upon avas Hashem and avas mishpat and chesed, you must have a hatred towards an individual whose whole essence is to destroy human beings and to destroy their lives. There must be a hatred. Must be a hatred for an Arafat or for a Farrakhan. If a person doesn't hate a Farrakhan or something, then he's lacking in his whole. His whole attitude towards Yadis. There must be a hatred like that. But I'll get back to those two points. There's one. I see now that we came this far, I think you can understand it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that we have a yomtiv, we have a holiday that's based on two opposite themes. One is Ava and one is Sinah. It's an unbelievable thing. What is Purim? Mishleach Monais, Mishlari Eyu, Matanes Lav Yoinim. And what is the other theme? Mechias Amalek, Sinas Amalek. It's an unbelievable thing. How could you have one yontif that has two absolutely contradictory themes? The answer is that they're not contradictory. Exactly. It's like we said. It's simply two, if you understand what we mean by Avas Abrius, what Yadis means, what the term means by Avas Abrius, you'll understand what Sinas Amalek is. And the reason why, and this causes the worst, the failure to understand this is what's responsible for most of the agonies of the American society insofar as justice is concerned. Total distortion of justice. Why? Because they're imbued with the Christian ethic of love, which I'm not going to even talk about the fact that it's a sham and a farce. But the even people who try to follow, think it's an ideal, what happens is it totally destroys the society, because if it's simply on an emotional plane and it's expressed towards the Russia and towards the worst human beings, this emotion is expressed, and there's always guilt involved whenever you implement justice and you save an innocent person, there's guilt. Because the concept of love is a total distortion, and that's why the society suffers so much. That's why society suffers from lawlessness, because of the crazy Christian idea of love. But in Yadus, it's a completely different idea. There's no contradiction for us to celebrate Avas Abrios and Sinan Nechias Amalek. No contradiction. Because the concept of Ava stems from one thing, from the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed man with the greatest gift. So someone who destroys this and wants to destroy this in others must be hated, must be a hateful character. That's the Yesod of Yadis. Now let me address the 2 points. 2 points I will mention. First one was kinas sofrim tar b'chachma. Kinas sofrim tar b'chachma is a gemara in Bav Basra. So first of all, as Danny once mentioned, it doesn't really say that that's a mitzvah. It doesn't say that. But in other words, here you're talking about a practical halacha. It's a practical halacha that you have melamdik tinokos, and you're not permitted to permitted to make laws that prevent another malame to come into the area. He shouldn't be a competitor with the first malame. Yeah, so I could tell you it doesn't matter whether they're perfected or not. But the fact is, this is halacha, which is in terms of the society. It's a societal halacha. In other words, the Gemara of Bav Basra says that a tzibur has a right to protect itself. That's what the halacha is. So one tzibur has a right to protect itself from being impoverished by another tzibur. So therefore, they could prevent people. It's really foreign trade. They could prevent foreign trade. That's what the Gemara is about. That a tzibur has a right to protect itself and to impose sanctions against foreign trade. But the Gemara says you can't do it when it comes to Malamdas. Why? Because if you do it over there, you're destroying the society. Because the whole benefit of the society is Chachma. And if you're going to impose sanctions, so it comes out that this, well, you have this Rebbe's guaranteed a position. So therefore what happens is, so he doesn't have to worry about his performance. So on the contrary, what you're doing is, you may be economically improving the society, but you're destroying the society in terms of the advancement in knowledge. So you can't do that. So that has nothing to do with, Kinas Sofrim over there is not presented as an ideal. It's simply a fact of life. It's a halacha. Benageya to a tzibur. A tzibur would be harming itself. In other words, the imposing of sanctions is basically because they want to protect themselves from economic depression. But the foremost concern of a society is depression in terms of knowledge. That's the worst depression. So therefore, you can't do that. That's all the Gemara is about. So the Gemara really, you have to understand that. No, the framework of the Gemara has nothing whatsoever to do with the ideals of a chacham. It's not talking about that. You have to understand the framework of the Gemara. So that's why that's absolutely no problem whatsoever. But what?
On a practical basis.
Yeah, right. Pedagogy. He's talking about Malam de Tinaikis.
That's right.
It's the capitalistic idea, basically.
Right.
That's right.
Competition.
Competition is very good. But the only thing is that a tzibur has a right to protect itself. In certain instances, you see what happens. The Gemara is not talking in the framework of an ideal. The Gemara is saying it's true that when you have competition, so then people do better.
This is a
mem-test. So that's first of all. The Gemara is not talking in terms of an ideal. The Gemara is talking in terms of a practical halacha. I mean, that's basically the answer. But the truth of the matter is, like the Gemara I mentioned before, Ma'ed Katan, is also true that when a person sees a certain perfection in another individual, I don't think that's the Gemara of Bav Basra, in my opinion, but it is true that when a person sees a perfection in another individual, it does arouse in him the image of that kind of a phenomenon, and he searches for it also. It causes him to search for it too, like the Gemara, that I believe, was Rav Chisda. He saw that individual that embodied perfection in terms of anivus, so that caused him to search for it. That it is true that there's such a thing as a person is guided by the senses. So when you see someone that has perfection, it has an effect on you. It shouldn't have an effect of jealousy in the sense of like a competitive jealousy, but it should say, "Wow, that person reached that level. It's an amazing thing." So it's something that serves to set an individual's sights if it's in a proper way. In that sense, if you use the phrase "kinas sofrim," in that sense, it's okay. But I don't think that's what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about halacha. I'm just telling you that there is that sense also. Okay. Now the next question was. And Mishloach Manas. That's right. And Mishloach, you're right. I mean, what can I tell you? It is a crazy thing in our society that the Rambam says should be Mab Malatanis Lav Yalim and Mishloach Manas. But I don't think in our society it's exactly the opposite. at the whole day to spend on Mishloach Manos. So, I mean, there's no question about it that you see Chazal didn't do it. You don't see Chazal doing that. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says the Gemara Megillah that they tore Marayim. So they're in Manos after Mishloach Manos. So they're Machlef to Suda. I mean, it doesn't seem to spend the whole day in Mishloach Manos. So this is an American, this is like they say in Israel, Minig Amerikoi. American Minig, to spend the whole day in Mishloach Manos and to outdo the other one and make sure that you accept the better Mishloach Manos. That's, of course, that's, I mean, that's what the Navi says. The Navi says, what's the Pasuk, the Pasuk say, Ki Yishorim Dark Ed Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchubo, Uposhim Yikashlubam. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's a total distortion of the very mitzvah. Total distortion of the very mitzvah. That's it's unfortunate. I mean, that's what happens. If you don't, that's what Chazal say, Godo Limud Shem Mevi Lidei Maisa. Because without Limud, there really is no Maisa. Because if you don't have the Limud and you don't understand it, so what is the Maisa? It's a Maisa Kof Balma. It has nothing to do with the perfection. It has to be Limud. God limits the male damage. Okay.
Yeah.
Why are both mitzvahs in the context of Suda? I'll tell you, there's a good reason for it. There's a very good reason for it. Because that's what I think the Rambam is addressing. What the Rambam says in Hilchos Yontif. That Suda is a wonderful thing, but Suda, if it becomes an end in itself, it's a dangerous thing. See, Suda is a dangerous thing. Because Suda caters to the Taivas. And therefore, what happens is the person has a matir, to involve himself in taivas. I mean, I don't want to point any fingers, but the fact is that for some people, Purim is a wonderful time to simply release their crazy emotions. Of course, it's a mitzvah to get drunk, and the machmer is at nighttime. So you see. That's not the shikras that Purim Takanas Marach and Esther had in mind. There is halacha of shikras and even holos but it's a different kind of, it's a holos that's based, motivated on a different basis than the wild holos. You see, it's true, it's a mice of holos, but it's a kiyum of perfection. There's a framework of perfection behind the hiolus. But if that framework is lost, it just becomes regular hiolus. That's not anymore. That's not. What does Rambam say? The Rambam says in regard to Suda Yontif. He says, Ein ze simcha shal mitzvah, ela simchas kreso. Simchas kreso. So the Suda is a dangerous thing. Because Suda caters to the emotions. So therefore, the person can take the Suda and use it as a simchas kreso. Close the doors. Enjoy his food. Enjoy his drink. Being involved in his own physical pleasures, that's Simchas Kreis. It's not according to the Rambam. You're not Yetzes Yantav for that. It wasn't Yetzes. That's not Suda Yantav. Something else. So Suda Yantav demands that the person, Suda is to put a person in the proper frame of mind for enjoyment. Enjoyment of what? It must be enjoyment of the enjoyment of the fact that he is so fortunate. That he was given the opportunity to have perfection. That's what the enjoyment is supposed to be. That's what Simchas Yontif is. Because a person should be so happy that he had the opportunity to have perfection. That's what the Simcha is about. So therefore, what Chazal did was beautiful. They took the Suda and they said that they made a part of the Suda. The Suda should be tied to the two central themes of Yadis. Precisely in the Suda where a person is prone to be engaged in his own enjoyment and pleasures, so Chazal took that vehicle and they said, this vehicle must have, from this vehicle must stem the Yesodei Hadas, which is perfection in terms of Reus and perfection in terms of Matanas Lavyonim, that a person recognizes the logic of Torah, the logic that's exactly the opposite of the practical logic. That's the, if you recognize that recognition, then there's a simcha to, then the Suda has a simcha to it. The Suda is a simcha about that. That's what the Rambam ties. Really, the Rambam ties together. He says, "She ain't simcha l'sameach levim." What's it got to do with it? But the pshat is, that the simcha has to be tied to a, it's like I mentioned with regard to Yaakov and Yosef, where it says that, what does it say by Yosef Tzadik, the Pasuk says, that kiven zekunim lo. And what does the Tirgum say? Bar Hakim. It means to say that he couldn't just enjoy him just because he's a son. The son of Amoritz is going to enjoy him. Enjoyment is only, he's a Tamachacham. Then he can enjoy the emotion. And as Rabbi Rosenthal mentioned, the Chazal, La Yehuda Moisa Oro V'Simcha V'Sason V'Yakar. So what does Chazal say on each one of these things? Oro Zu Torah. Simcha Zu what? Simchas Yontef. Sason Brismila. It means, what do they mean? The Yakar is what? Is Tfilin. Tfilin Sharosh. It doesn't mean the Chazal is trying to find all the... What are the Chazal doing there? What is the Tzom Shoresh? Not the only mitzvah. Many mitzvahs in the Torah. How do they single out these mitzvahs? It means what they're trying to say, what they're trying to show is that the whole simcha was always tied to a mitzvah. It wasn't just an empty simcha. It was a simcha, the happiness, the real happiness is that the person was given the opportunity for perfection. That should make a person very happy. That's really the mitzvah of Yontif. What is the mitzvah of Yontif? Mitzvah of Yontif is, that's why they say the only guy in the simcha Torah, the only guy in the biggest... The biggest masmid possible. So the Vilna Goyim would take off time to go and dance in front of the Sefer Torah. Dance wildly in front of the Sefer Torah. Why? He's wasting his time. He didn't waste a second. What's the answer? The answer is because it's an interesting thing that Yadus in general tries to teach a person to look away from himself. That's what it tries to do. Yadus really tells a person one message. The way you want to find happiness by thinking about yourself and how fortunate you are. The way you find happiness is by thinking about things outside of yourself. If a person's unhappy, you sit and learn Torah, engage in ideas. Then you feel happy. The happiness comes from, and that's again the part of the crazy logic of Yadus. Now you would think that you want to be happy, so you should think about yourself and see if you're happy because of this, you're not happy because of that. So that's really the American cure. Go to a psychiatrist. Psychiatrists get more involved with yourself, and then you'll see if you're happy and why you're not happy, and you can do this and do that. You take a look. I take a look at all these people. I see they're the most unhappy people you ever see. There's a new kind of therapy in this country. The therapy is that you go for 30 years for therapy. The problem is that the disease, the therapy has to outlive the patient. I mean, it's not shaykh for the person to ever get cured. I mean, when is he going to get cured? But what does Yada say? Yada says just the opposite. That the way for a person to be happy is to engage in something outside of the self. Forget about the self. The only happy person is the person that's involved in something outside of himself. The more he thinks about himself, the more unhappy he's going to be. The same Yada says, but there should be a time when a person does reflect upon, it's an interesting thing, where a person does reflect upon his own state, and he is happy about himself, binageya to the fact that he was given the opportunity for perfection. Because apparently Yada does recognize that a person wants to think about himself. Doesn't deny him that. He does, but there's a time for it. Not constantly, but there's time set aside. Yomtiv Simchas Yomtiv was set aside for that. So you see, according to her, a few times a year, it's broken up. A few times a year, a person is supposed to reflect. Should endure, reflect about the fact that I'm fortunate that I had the opportunity that God gave the Torah, gave the opportunity for me to live a life of perfection. Should think about that, and it should make him happy. So that's why the Vilna Gaon, even though you're the biggest masmid, but nevertheless, with regard to Simchas Torah, that's the mitzvah. Simchas Torah. The guy in hell that the height of this philosophy is really in one yontif, Shmini Atzeres. That's what the guy in hell. The Gro hell, that philosophically, if you look through the Yom Tov, you see it's true. Because Shmini Atzeres is the yontif where there's no mitzvahs. No sukkah, no lulav, no, there's nothing. God says, Bonai, it's through Atzeres. It means ikvu imi od yom echad. It means that now you have an opportunity to be privately with a melech. It means the total enjoyment of the fact that you have the mitzvahs and all the other mitzvahs, amaisiyas, are canceled. You see? So that's why the Gros says, that Shmini Atzeres reflects the height. That's where it reaches culmination in Shmini Atzeres. So that's why so there is a chiyuv on the part of man to reflect upon himself occasionally and to realize how fortunate he is in terms of the fact that he has the mitzvahs. But of course, that's the medium of Suda and the medium of Yayin and Simchas Yontov and Basav Yayin. That's a medium for that a person should be in that state. Because ordinarily, you see in the Torah, we don't like the state where a person can't think. A person's mind is compromised. That's not what Yadis looks for. That's what Gaon looks for. But in Yadis, we always look for a state where we have a clear mind. Nevertheless, you see, Basav Yayin is a mitzvah on Yontov. So it's a state where the mind is compromised. Can't paskin alacha, asal haras. Why? Because Yadis recognizes that man does have in his nature a desire to reflect upon himself and to think if he's fortunate or not fortunate. But he shouldn't cater to it constantly. Then it becomes an obsession. Then he becomes unhappy. But what he should do is occasionally, he has to spend time and realize that he's fortunate. But the fortunate, how is he fortunate? He's fortunate with regard to the fact that he has been given the greatest gift, entitled to gain perfection through Chochmas HaTorah. That's what he has to realize. Yeah, that's right. You mean to say that the Simchas Torah, the minig of Simchas Torah, that's very good. The minig of Simchas Torah isn't just stam. It means because it's based upon the whole Masorah. And that's why the minig that with the Sameach on Simchas Torah is really based upon the whole philosophy and understanding of Shemini Atzeres. That's where it stems from. That's stam, okay? Yeah, that's right. That's correct. That's I'd like to mention that we're collecting Maaschitim. We're starting to collect Maaschitim
right now,
and it's important. It's important. There are a couple of individuals that are in need, and we're collecting for them.